It's Friday!
Okay! Tokyo!
South America!
Australia!
France!
Germany!
UK!
Africa!
Here we go! Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running for this 21st day of May 2021. Yes, without a doubt, at least here, it is the most beautiful day of 2021 thus far. We topped out, I think, around 88 degrees Fahrenheit here in the hills and hollers of almost level West Pycod, Virginia. Yes, not going to put that name in front of there. No. It is absolutely gorgeous, and were Agnes not busy puppy sitting across the river right now, I'm sure she would have had to chase me in back into the studio. But I'm here without any chasing, and the boy is outside experiencing the wonders of battery-powered lawn care equipment and not breathing, two-cycle oil exhaust. It's a new and different experience. Hi, I'm Robin. It's Friday on the front porch, and here in about an hour or so, we will gather together in the old holler tree that we've sublet from the Keebler Elves, where Sparky sits at the seat of honor. And I invite any and all who want to participate in Friday on the front porch in good faith to jump right in and be part of it. You are more than welcome. And we really enjoy having new voices added to the conversation. And speak of the devil, there's Ferg.
Howdy.
Hey, what's up?
I'm just about done.
Yeah.
Taking my daughter to get something. Help me.
Hold on. Okay. So I had to do a little. I'm sorry, that just didn't need to go on the air. The details and the logistics, but he's done a fantastic job cleaning up the yard today on this beautiful day, and he and his beloved and the beautiful little grandbaby are headed out for a bite to eat. So, yay! Hope they enjoy it. Anyway, it is Friday on the front porch, and like I said. New voices welcome, old voices welcome. And in the meantime, if you'd like to augment your live listening experience, well, pop on over to headon.live, click on chat room, and, well, if you've never been there before, pick out a screen name and a password. If not, use the old one, whatever. But if you show up now, pop in right now, you'll be greeted by early arrivers 68 AMC 343, Roger in Oregon, and Squeaky, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, exercising the discretion that is the better part of valor, is not folding space because of the 40-mile-an-hour wind gusts there at the man cave. He is capably assisted by longtime pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all-around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan. And every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, this program being exactly like that. And what that means is we have thanks to send out to our 21st day of the month subscribers. And what that means is thanks go out. Let's see here. Thanks go out to Harold, president and CEO of Sotstris, the secret open carry Happy Trails Roundup Society. Thank you, Harold. And thank you to David for jumping in. And thank you to Gary and Gaia for jumping in. Thank you so very much. Thank you for being part of the merry little band that keeps all of this going. Thank you, Stephen. Stephen jumped in with a have a show on me. And so what was a terrifying, just horrifying hole to dig out of is a little less deep. It's a lot less deep. It's the actual fundraising goal is now down to 945. No, 930. Thank you to Brandon and Fennell in Brooklyn. And thanks as well to our pal Dennis in Columbus. That means that we are now down to 880. 880 bucks to go to finish the this week, and that means we've got Wednesday, Thursday, and today to finish. But there's good news, because it can happen a lot easier than we might otherwise think. Tracy got hold of me last night and said she wanted to set up a challenge, the Paul Mooney Memorial Challenge. Thank you for that, Tracy. So if 150 bucks comes in, then Tracy will double it, and that'll get us down to 580. And then, by the way, Steve in New York said, okay, let's get it started, folks. Let's get going. If we don't step up, we won't be here next month. I'm putting a $15 challenge to get it started. As my mom's mom used to say, if you ante up and meet our deficit, I'll dance at your wedding. And so that's the $15 Dancing Steve challenge. So that makes $165 in challenges. Thank you very kindly, Steve. And trying to zero that out as we move into the last week of May is so very important, especially with the way the bills have run this week, this month. And just feels like a money hemorrhage. And then, of course, to get the program started, well, Robin, Holy Land, holy shit. There's a sign along the Gaza Strip, Joey writes, that says, now entering the Holy Land, the home of sacred sites and symbols of humanity's faith in God. Jeffrey has some prophetic, pathetic sentiments. The Holy Land sign has been riddled with bullets, only stands on one leg because the rocket hit the opposite leg, and there's a hole right in the middle of the O in holy. Holy wow! These people sure do know how to put the hole in holy. With that in mind, and Joey told us of the passing of his dear friend, Richard. With that in mind, Richard loved the Holy Lands and visited there several times through the course of his life, and when Trump was elected, he told me he wanted to leave the United States for Israel. I knew that was not possible with the fact that he had Parkinson's, but when Richard witnessed Trump doing the sword dance with the Saudi prince, he was infuriated. Ah, yes, that was the same time that the hands were laid upon the orb. Yes. Along those lines, I would just like to thank everybody for all the kind words, thoughts, and sentiments regarding my friend Richard. He was aces in so many ways and made an amazing contribution to my life. One of Richard's greatest contributions to my life was that he allowed me to examine my faith and see the shortcomings of the Abrahamic religions, including his own. You know, that damn giraffe, in the middle of a religious conversation.
After spending time with Richard, Joey came to some interesting conclusions. One being the age of the Earth, which Joey's mother told him all along was billions rather than thousands of years old, and that the authors of the Bible cannot be verified, as the Bible was written around 100 A.D., about 65 years after Christ died, and the authors were just like Rush Limbaugh, dead. The Bible cannot be authenticated. That's the New Testament, of course. However, the most interesting conclusion that Joey came up with was that Jesus was a very peaceful dude who just wanted to drink wine, smoke dope, and get laid. That's probably exactly... Are you saying he was a libertarian? Well, as long as it was somebody else's wine. That is probably exactly what Jesus did, because the Bible doesn't record his life from 12 years of age till he was 32, which leaves the Bible severely lacking credibility. I mean, who writes a biography about somebody and leaves out two-thirds of the person's life, including virtually all of his adult life? Jeffrey's feeling his oats. Do giraffes eat oats? However, Joey does believe in an ultimate power, just not the fiction of the Bible, and he does love Jesus because Jesus was the greatest liberal to ever live. However, Joey's new revelation about there being a God came to fruition when just recently his wife told him she was going to get vaccinated. Yes! Joey exclaimed and jumped for joy. Hallelujah! There is a God, and God has spoken to my wife, and now I can go home and sleep with my... Yes, now Joey can go home and sleep with the corgis, but we're not sure where I, Jeffrey the giraffe, am going to live. But Joey's wife will be getting the vaccine at 5 o'clock this evening. Yes, there just may be an ultimate creator after all. As it turns out, tens of thousands of people have gotten the vaccine in Ohio because of the governor's new lottery ploy. I saw that. What they ought to do is actually give the winnings of that lottery to somebody who was responsible and had gotten vaccinated long ago. I'm sure the winner would not reveal when they actually received the vaccine and would be happy with the winnings. Did you hear about that? Governor Mike DeWino is entering people in a lottery drawing for like $1 million, and just somebody who took the vaccine is going to get $1 million from the Ohio lottery. And so that has driven people to the... People have gone... Yep. They've been running out to get their vaccine on the odd... The odds are better of winning this $1 million than they are most of the number-picking games that the Ohio Lottery offers. Anyway, this has been Joey's Journal for Friday, the 21st day of May, 2021, with Giraffrey waiting for his winnings... his vaccine lotto check. And so there's a $25 Get God Vaccinated challenge on the table. So that means that there's a total of $180 in challenges on the table, which would knock out of the 880 remaining, 360. So that'd be 820. It'd get us down to 520. So thank you very kindly, Joey and Giraffrey. And, thanks very kindly to Ralphs. Ralphs got us down to 870. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you so very much for being there so often, helping keep the program going. Steve in New York responding, smoke dope, drink beer, and get laid, and feed the hungry, clothe the naked, house the homeless. So not libertarian. I knew that would get a response. Yeah. True. So, again, here in, now about 45 minutes, we will gather together in the old holler tree, as mentioned previously, and we will have what I hope will be another rousing Friday on the front porch conversation. And I just want to, because it's been a long week, in parts of the world a bloody week, and in many ways an infuriating week, I thought getting us going with a little giggle would be a nice touch. Late last night for me, not so late for Sparky. Sparky sent along a link to this audio. A comic by the name of Chris Colagero, who does a fantastic New York Italian impression. I mean, this is spot on. And when he tweeted, he said, it's the uncle who, by surface appearance, seems like he's about to have a very bad opinion about getting vaccinated, but then, boom, he flips around to preconceived notions and gets it. America can't get enough of this character. We also can't get enough of the vaccine. Well, I mean, we can't get enough of the people to take the vaccine. But enjoy and laugh merrily.
Oh, the vaccine? Yeah, I won't be getting that. I did my own research and it seems bad or whatnot. That's my impression of you being a strunz. Did your own research. You spent 3 hours on Facebook and shared an article from No Shit Real Science. I swear to God on my mother's grave, that XYZ over here. That's research? What's the matter with you? You think you're coming to Sunday gravy with no vax? The balls on this guy. I want this thing to be over, but not like that. I mean, you're trying to get off the Titanic, and you're waiting for the lifeboat that looks best to you? Maron, I'll make some room on my door if you just climb up, you mama look.
Oh, but Godfather, I don't know what's in it.
Why, you know things what's in them now, huh? Tell me all the things that you know what's in them. Everything that's in them. A hot dog? God forbid. The weird hard marshmallows and Lucky Charms, what do you think, they're naturally occurring or something? Mountain Dew? What, you ever see that color anywhere else in the world and think, yeah, I could put that in me? Sour Patch Kids are made of secrets. My Nona won't even tell no one what's in a special focaccia recipe. Not even her own daughter. My mother, for Christ's sake. But you try telling her, you won't eat unless you know everything that's in it. I mean, salute to you. Let me know how that wooden spoon tastes. Don't you want to be able to do things again, huh? What's the matter with you? Don't you want to go out with your paisans and have some vino and talk about what happens to us after we die because we're all made of energy and energy cannot be destroyed? Maron, imagine it, huh? What's the matter with you? Why don't you think of someone else for once, huh? Just a little bit. You ain't the star of every movie going on here. I'm talking about society being a little piece of the greater whole, but because you're a piece of the whole, you also are the whole. You know what I'm talking about? You are a piece and you are the whole as long as you contribute. Now, why don't you go get a shot and then go out and celebrate with a big bowl of ZD's? Now, please pass me the scungeel. I'm starving over here. Oh, the
brilliant. Just brilliant. And as I said when I reposted it, my God, I'm sitting there just reveling in the cultural brilliance. But when he got to the wooden spoon part, well, the wooden spoon part a hillbilly gets too. Oh, yeah. Yeah. How's that wooden spoon taste? He's brilliant. He's absolutely and the little bit of philosophy worked in there. You know, we're all made of energy, and energy can either be created or destroyed. Fantastic. So, you know, just a little amuse bouche to get us started this afternoon. Thank you, Clarence. Clarence has now taken down the fundraising goal to. Let's see, 8:45, and that means we're $35 into Tracy's Paul Mooney Memorial Challenge. Thank you, Tracy, and thank you, Ralphs, and thank you, Clarence. So that means 115 more to go there. You're right, Steve in New York notes, that guy needs a cowbell. That guy gets a cowbell. He gets a cowbell. Question for you from Flavio. I had a haircut appointment yesterday, so I could only hear 30 minutes of the program. But you said Nancy Pelosi's fining them $500 for not wearing a mask. Is that all she can do? She can't have the sergeant of arms drag them by their... Yeah, well, I dealt with that. No, unfortunately, they cannot be dragged by their ears out of the House chamber. It'd be nice, but no, that seems to be what that's the punishment. Of course, I think maybe for second offenses it goes up. Right, yeah. Let's see. This is kind of light and humorous too. Although it was actually serious diplomacy. Secretary of State is, of course, Anthony Blinken. Yesterday. In meetings with the Danish Foreign Minister Jeppe Kofod and the Prime Minister of Greenland Mutta Egede and the Foreign Minister of Greenland Pele Broberg, Anthony Blinken, the Secretary of State, actually explained to a reporter that the reporter was in fact correct insofar as the United States has no interest in purchasing Greenland. When I read the story, I was kind of triggering. Like, oh, God, I remember that stupid day. And that happens a lot anymore. Just being thrown back into the chaos of the misadministration, maladministration of Nitwit Nero from 2017 to the earliest part of 2021, including a coup that tried to overturn the government of the United States. But, yeah.
Maybe we'd like to buy Greenland.
No! No! So now it's official. We're not in the market for Greenland. Jesus God, what an idiot. But Minister Broberg, Pelle Broberg, said that no, Secretary of State Blinken did not show up there to do a real estate deal. A real estate deal means land with nothing on it, nobody on it. Secretary Blinken has made it clear he's here for the people living in the Arctic, for the people living in Greenland. Look at that. An actual, sane foreign policy. Son of a gun. Who knew? But there we are. Yeah. So, you know, good on you. Good on you. Oh, back to the Ohio vaccine lottery. Lee in New York says, let's not tell the anti-vaxxers that the odds of winning the vaccine lottery is about the same as having a bad reaction to the J&J vaccine. No, let's don't do that. Let's don't and say we didn't. Okay? Yeah. Yeah. The most pressing question in the last century for discussion on Friday on the front porch, Steve in New York. Should Pete Rose be in the Baseball Hall of Fame? It's a good question. I think I have the most sane and simple answer. Pete Rose and Shoeless Joe Jackson should go in on the same ballot. Actually, Shoeless Joe should go in first because while he took the Black Sox scandal money, he never actually did anything to earn it. And in fact, turned in some just amazing records. Stats in the 1919 World Series. Steve noting Anthony Blinken is not nearly sufficiently ideologically pure enough. Well, who is, really? Back to that wooden spoon. Scott in San Diego says, my mom, when I and my wicked siblings would drive her completely over the edge, would beat us with a wooden spoon. We had the good sense to hide the wooden spatula as it had more surface area, which could be applied to our surface area. A wooden spoon whistle. It whistles as it goes through the air. I know this for a fact. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And how old were you when you figured out the meaning of surface area, Scott? Yeah. But there's plenty of stupid to go around, of course. It's almost like Moran Mondays every day now. Because the vote in the House of Representatives for the January 6th Commission has triggered a whole bunch of snowflake maggots, including a guy named Steve Cortes, C-O-R-T-E-S. He was a campaign spokescreep for Nitwit Nero's two presidential campaigns, both of which, he, of course, we all remember, he lost the popular vote. But the nature of wingnut welfare is such that when you're done doing your maggot gig, there's always a wingnut welfare job waiting for you out there because, well, they're wingnuts, and they're nasty, but they got lots and lots of money, and they take care of their own. They do. And so Steve Cortes landed at Newsmuck. He might have landed at Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, or Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground. But no, he landed at Newsmuck. You know, where he's got a sweet gig funded by the the white, and I do mean white wing. And he does it, and so the January 6th commission vote took place, and well, this gave Steve Cordes a big, big sad. Yeah, just so sad.
One of the bright spots of last November's election for Republicans was the House races. They unexpectedly tipped seats, narrowing House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's margin.
And Newsmuck is now competing with Fox News TV Radio Rwanda for attack blondes. And so that's what's going on here.
But Steve, yesterday's floor vote from a group of establishment representatives has a lot of voters up in arms.
Yeah, it certainly does. You know, it's been clear from both polling as well as recent elections.
Dude is wearing more makeup than I do. I mean, Jesus Christ, I think there's color corrector, I think there's concealer, and I think it was applied with a Marshalltown trowel. Which is interesting because I have a feeling he's going to start talking about the masculinity of other Republicans, the 35 Republicans who voted to create along with all the Democrats, to create the January 6th commission to try to get to the bottom of exactly how that happened. But if you're tuning into Newsmuck, you're not there to get an objective recitation of the facts. Oh, no. No, no. And, you know, the attack blonde saying it's got a lot of voters up in arms. Well, yeah, but okay. But their arms are actually up because they've got them up by their mouths to pick their teeth with their toenail clippings because they're maggots.
That the Republican voters, they believe in a transformed America First Party. But a lot of legacy office holders, well, they cling to old ways, the ways of the surrender GOP. And I think people were really surprised to see so many, Jen, 35 members of Congress,
shocking,
kowtowing to the agenda,
shocking,
of the D.C. contingent, unfortunately. So that's the reality, folks. There's a new gang in town, and there's nothing cool about this group. I'm referring, of course, to this new coalition formed on Capitol Hill. 35 House Republican representatives who voted with Nancy Pelosi yesterday to establish a congressional committee to investigate the January 6th riot. 35 political cowards who are handing Adam Schiff, AOC, and Jerry Nadler the
Bruga, Bruga, Bruga
keys to a high-powered truck, knowing full well that Pelosi and her squad will use that truck to then run them over. Now, look, here's the reality. There are Americans who, unfortunately, believe in political power through force.
Oh, there are political power through force. I bet I know where he's going.
Some examples. Antifa.
Antifa believes in political power through force, even though Antifa never shows up until the fascists show up first. That's not being very good at political force? No? No, not really.
Radical BLM cop killer in Dallas. And yes, a group of thugs who attacked the police at the Capitol on January 6th.
Funny how he leaves out the fact that the group of the thugs that attacked the Capitol and the police on January 6th were largely wearing MAGA hats and waving Trump flags and Trump 2020 banners and carrying American flags. And isn't it funny how he can mention Antifa, but somehow or another, Proud Boys is not in his vocabulary. The Boogaloo Incel Tactical Command Headquarters are not in his vocabulary. The Free Percenters aren't in his vocabulary. The Oath Keepers aren't in his vocabulary. Groups who were actively involved in the attack on the Capitol. Curiouser and curiouser, isn't it, Alice? That's just what the. Yeah. Oh well.
These people brought great dishonor to the America First cause.
Well, I don't know how you can dishonor the America First cause if you take into account the fact that the America First cause is kind of proto-Nazi in the first place and short on, well, honor. Still trying to sort it out.
But this isn't an effort to understand or to deter political violence. This commission, this sham tribunal, is directed only at MAGA believers.
No, it's, I mean, I don't know if this guy has legal training. If he does, he's not very good at it. Because he just said that January 6th was caused by thugs. But if the commission is only aimed at MAGA believers, then didn't he just kind of imply that MAGA did January? Darlene, no, I am not implying that, no, or inferring it or stating it. Darlene in Connecticut says, are you actually implying that dude looks like a lady? No. I'm working on that. Steve Cordes, he doesn't look like a lady, but the thing is, he doesn't look terribly manly either. In fact, he looks kind of soft and round, and a little jowly, and not fat shaming or anything, but if you're gonna flout masculinity, he's probably not the guy to be doing it. Not saying, just saying.
This is impeachment 3.0. This is going after President Trump again. It makes no sense how it's...
Well, how do they know it's going after President Trump again? And he's not president anymore, Jim Shorts. How do we know until the evidence is developed? I mean, right? But, you know, Jim Shorts is standing there with his hands on his hips. Put your hands on your hips and pull your knees in tight and do the pelvic thrust. No, I don't want to do the time warp. No.
Structured.
We should be honest about what happened at the Capitol on January 6th. President Trump called for peaceful protest.
I know that everyone here will soon be marching over to the Capitol building to peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard.
But some of his supporters then acted criminally, and they should be prosecuted fully. Our America First movement
under
is
the
about
under
the
bus, maggot,
respecting law and order. But the riot was not, by any stretch, an insurrection. The government was not
really. It wasn't an insurrection. They didn't bring a gallows. They didn't bring a gallows. They didn't go looking to hang Mike Pence from the sour apple tree. They didn't plan it for weeks on end. People closely associated with the Trump campaign that old Steve here worked for didn't have anything to do with it. My goodness gracious. A lot of facts going down the memory hole over at Newsmuck.
Threatened. The military complex was not imperiled. Unarmed morons in furry hats running around hallways with selfie sticks.
Wait a minute. Strange women lying in pawns distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Of course, people did bring guns. They brought knives, brought other weapons, they brought bear spray. That you don't carry a fire extinguisher full of fucking bear spray for self-defense in a place where there aren't any bears. But bear spray had become, by then,
one of the favored weapons of the Proud Boys and the Boogaloo Incel Tactical Command Headquarters and whatnot, that they used when they went out to try to start fights on the streets of, well, quite often, Portland.
Is not a real rebellion. In fact, there is no evidence that there were any firearms in that building, except for the armed police.
Except for the guy who got busted for carrying a pistol. It was in a Taurus GCS, was that what it was called? G2C. Taurus G2C. But they don't have to worry about those kind of facts because, well, when Emery and Marvelline grab the clicker when the commercials come on for various and sundry Buy Gold Now hustles over at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, and they go to Newsmuck. Well, they're not going to know any because they didn't hear about it at Fox either.
Including the one who shot and killed MAGA supporter Ashley Babbitt. The only
that and she has. They're desperate. These maggots are trying. They're desperately trying to turn Ashley Babbitt into their version of Heather Heyer. You know, because a Nazi, a maggot, a Trump supporter, ran over her using his car as a weapon, and there's really no question about it. But now they're trying to turn Ashley Babbitt into it when, well, you get the idea.
Person killed on that really unfortunate day was a deplorable, Ashley Babbitt. We should remember her name, in part because we still do not know another name, the name of her shooter. But, you know, the truth just doesn't matter to the left. Pelosi, Schumer, and the Biden administration, they are hell-bent on forcing a narrative down our throats. One
down our throats. They think a maggot can't talk about anything. They're trying to put it down our throats. It's almost like they're obsessed with something.
Based on conjecture, like the myth that Officer Sicknick was killed by the crowd.
The myth.
The riot on January 6th, here's the truth. It was quickly and thankfully dispersed because of the brave actions from law enforcement and because President Trump issued a strong video.
It went on for hours. Law enforcement begging for help.
Telling everyone to stop it, to knock it off. And
yeah, that didn't happen for a nice long while.
To go home. But instead, the Republican leaders that we wanted elected, they want to validate this Democrat myth-making and even endorse it by appointing a...
Because, see, that's what you were watching on TV on January 6th, the myth. And over on the other channel, it was Jason and the Argonauts, you know, with all that really quirky, kitschy 1960s claymation. That's a myth, too. Golden Fleece and all that stuff.
Political Inquisition Board, and that's what it is. But they not only missed the mark on the policy side, but also on the politics, too. Just look at their districts. Trump won 30 of those 35 districts. Let's take a couple of examples. Rodney Davis of Illinois, he cruised to victory in 2020 by 9 points in a district that hasn't elected a Democrat representative since the 1800s. Or take Tony Gonzalez of Ohio. His district is plus 10 Republican, and his vote for Nancy's Tribunal was just the icing on the cake.
Remember yesterday how we were the talking point coming from Kevers McCarthy was it's the Pelosi Commission. Well, here it is, Nancy's Tribunal. Watch the effectiveness of their messaging in action. It really is rather. I mean, they're kind of good at it, and they. By God, they stay on message.
Because he also voted for the second sham impeachment of President Trump. That's right. 10 out of these 35 reps, they earned that dubious distinction. I call them the Terrible 10. It's an even more detestable subset of the broader gang of 35. All of them, all 35, but particularly these 10, they need to lose and to lose in primaries. Now, regarding those odds of the primaries and getting an America...
Yada, 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 yada. But, see, this is just, I mean, you can tell just listen to it. He would be unemployable anywhere else. He's never stopped being an actual spokes creep for Nitwit Nero. He just found someone else to pay him to do it. Right? Yeah. Ashley Babbitt says, Stephen, New York, innocent young woman shot while breaking into the Capitol through the window. Yeah. Not quite so. Sorry about that, Suman. Suman says, pelvic thrust. I was peeling an orange. Then I heard Jim Shorts Jordan and pelvic thrusts. No more orange. Thanks. Ah, gee, Suman, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that I not only spoil meals, I spoil the healthy, you know, healthy between meal fruit snacking. I gotta get help for this. Knock it off, says Matt in San Francisco. 45 told them to knock it off. So it was basically like two kids roughhousing in the Chesterfield, and he was dad yelling them to get off. Yeah.
You kids, knock it off, or I'll dump a bowl of potatoes on your head. Just like when I was a kid. That's how we dealt with problems back then. Somebody got a bowl of mashed potatoes dumped on their head.
Right. As to Emery and Marveline, Scott in San Diego says, I did some online research and discovered where they live. It's a lovely little trailer park on Bullshit Boulevard. No, Scott, that's the wrong Emery and Marveline. This is the Emery and Marveline who have matching Barca loungers in their trailer and reside at the Ballerina Swan Lake Country Club and Trailer Court somewhere near Odessa, Missouri. Mm-hmm.
As well as this January 6th commission. Now, I'm putting two of them aside because they are in Dem-leaning districts. But the others, they are in heavily Republican-leaning districts. Cheney plus 26, Rice plus 11, Newhouse plus 13. Taken together, these eight in total, their districts average 10.6% Republican lean, according to the Cook Political Report. Why?
Steve Kornacki, this dude. And the thing is, can you imagine the people who actually tune into Newsmuck? It's pathetic, really. The people who tune into Newsmuck, I don't think they've got a lot of activism about them. No. Mostly they grumble and burble quietly, or not so quietly, amongst themselves. You know, maybe when they're going maskless to the local COVID mart or whatever the hell.
Why is that important? Because if we beat them in the primary, we're not at risk of sacrificing the seat just because we removed an incumbent. So when we beat them in the primary with America First Republican candidates, they will then also
fascist.
Keep the seat in Republican hands. And Jen, you know, I have to tell you that today on social media and also just calls and emails with a lot of folks, the America First movement, the activists, they are irate about these three dozen roughly Republicans.
Both of them. Roughly Republicans. Really? Really, Steve, you manly man who refers to the 35 as the eunuch caucus. They can't help themselves, can they? Everything they talk about has something to do with sex or sexuality, because I'm just guessing at some point in time Steve Cordes gets caught doing something, maybe in an airport men's room, you know, not saying, just saying. But I mentioned the planning by the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers. Over at DC Report. They talk about
folks like Daniel Lyons Scott, a Proud Boy, who's been charged with assault on a federal officer, obstruction and physical violence on restricted grounds. James Breheny, he coordinates the Bergen County, New Jersey chapter of the Oath Keepers. We just call them the Oafs for short, which is not the same as a varlet. Violent entry, disorderly conduct, obstruction of an official proceeding, corruptly destroying or concealing evidence. On and on and on. But yeah. It's not just dudes in fuzzy hats. The Proud Boys showed up as a group. And on video, they can be heard chanting together, let's take the Capitol. One of the smarter Proud Boys then says, let's not fucking yell that, okay? They busted their ass in the weeks and months in advance of January 6th. They were going to steal the ballots, destroy the ballots, and then claim that there would the election was invalid because the constitutional requirements could not be fulfilled. Oh, God. But don't worry. Steve Cordes is on the job. Then there was the racist white dude who was a mask hole and went a little batty on a JetBlue flight from JFK to SFO.
In the front part of the aircraft in the men's section, it was annoying another passenger and unwanted touching, if possibly inadvertent, maybe intentional, unknown. Multiple trips to the bathroom, the flight attendants were able to move that passenger so she felt more comfortable. After several more, put on your mask, bathroom trips, started antagonizing other passengers, and had the met knife gesturing, stabbing motions towards the other passenger, and there was also observed erratic behavior and snorting a white substance.
Oh, okay. Right now we're talking.
He was in the bathroom again. The rude activity towards the flight attendants, other passengers.
So the long story short on this is the nonstop from JFK to SFO had to divert and land at Minneapolis, St. Paul to deal with this white dude who was snorting the white substance and pissing and moaning about wearing a mask. I'm pretty sure that's not a member of Antifa or the BLM. Yeah. He was making inappropriate comments to the female passengers on the plane, further indicating a likely Trump voter, yelling racist slurs at people as they got aboard the plane. Because, well, MAGA, y'all, right? MAGA. Sure. But speaking of powdered substances, Jesus. Illinois, Springfield, Illinois, this past April, body camera footage has finally been obtained by News Channel 20 in that market, and it shows the arrest of a young man named Dartavius Barnes. He was pulled over by the police on an allegation of speeding. And so when they pull him over, they said, hey, can we search? And by the way, members of the Horn Family Community Congregation. Just a little moment here. I'm not a lawyer, and I don't play one on the radio. But any lawyer will tell you, if you are ever pulled over by the police and they say, do you mind if we search your car? Your answer is, do you have a search warrant? It's not illegal to say that. It is perfectly constitutional, in fact, to say that. Because if they do not have a search warrant, they do not get to search your car unless you consent. Well, Mr. Barnes consented. And when they did, they searched his car, and they found some cannabis. And then they also found a container with what they said was some sort of powdered substance. The cops initially claimed that they tested the powdered substance and it tested positive for meth. Well, it wasn't meth. They had actually opened up the urn of this man's poor little 2-year-old daughter's ashes and desecrated her last mortal remains. Because cops. You know, we got a, we got one of them fellers here, and he's got something that's powder, and you know how it is with them people. It's probably meth. Mr. Barnes did not handle it well at all, as one can imagine. They said, when they opened up his daughter's urn and started sifting around in her last mortal remains, Mr. Barnes yelled, "That's my daughter. Put her in my hand, bro. Y'all are disrespectful." And so after he told them, "That's not meth, that's my baby girl," okay, we'll test it again. So they sifted through the ashes again and tested it again. And only then did Sherlock Holmes figure out, "Oh, these are real. That's a little dead girl. That ain't meth. It's all gone." So, and I hope he succeeds beyond his wildest dreams, Mr. Dartavius Barnes. He's filed a lawsuit against the city of Springfield because the city of Springfield was apparently unable to hire someone to be a fucking cop who can't tell the difference between an urn full of a baby girl's ashes and a bag of meth. Yeah, on the other hand, white dude without a mask sits on a JetBlue flight and apparently just gets all messed up. Just gets kind of weary, this stuff. But if that one's bad, this one's worse. This is one of those strap-in kind of things. I mean, good God. We go to Louisiana for this one. Monroe, Louisiana. And the Louisiana State Police. And the case, the story goes back to 2019. And it's about an African-American man named Ronald Green. He tried to flee from police cars, and he crashed his car. And in the immediate aftermath, the Louisiana State Police told his grieving family that he had died in the car crash. Then, 2 years later, a journalism outlet doing journalism
the Associated Press got three video clips. Mr. Green was quite alive after he crashed his car. He was alive enough that when the officers came up, he could apologize to them. Okay, okay, he tells them. I'm sorry. I'm scared. Officer, I'm scared. I'm your brother. I'm scared. To which, well, he's responding to a cop who had said to him, "Let me see your fucking hands, motherfucker!" And then they tase Mr. Green. And he lays on the ground moaning. And another big, bold, brave Louisiana State Police officer comes up and kicks him repeatedly as he lays helpless on the ground. And one of the officers then says, "Well, I got blood all over me. I hope this guy ain't got fucking AIDS." And then they take hold of Mr. Green and they drag him along. And they leave him face down, moaning for, ironically, more than 9 minutes, you know, just like George Floyd. He's laying there moaning and dying on the ground while the officers use hand sanitizer wipes to get all the blood off of their hands and faces. And what a difference an election makes. The Department of Justice, under Merrick Garland, is now investigating the killing. Louisiana State Police is kind of upset. They said, "We didn't release the video. It wasn't authorized or obtained by official sources." So they're upset about having gotten caught. 2 minutes worth of clips. Three clips, a little over 2 minutes in time. The whole video is 46 minutes long. Minutes of torture and torment. And when the state police initially filed their report of investigation relating to the crash, there was not a word about any of that behavior, that murderous behavior. In the lawsuit filed by Mr. Green's daughter, she claims he was brutalized by Louisiana State Police and Union Parish deputy officers, which caused his death. Because they used lethal force. The report, on the other hand, said Green was taken into custody after resisting arrest and a struggle with troopers. A short time later, Green became unresponsive and was transported to the Glenwood Medical Center by Papad Medical Service. And he died in the ambulance on the way. And then they went and told Mr. Green's family that he died in a car wreck. He died immediately after hitting a tree. Well, Steve's right. Steve in New York. Here we go again. This was not a killing. The pigs lynched him. Yeah. Oh, I'm sure this brave, bold Louisiana State Police officer was in fear for his life from the guy who was begging for his. I wonder if anybody down there's, you know, Louisiana's got the death penalty. Is anybody out there hollering for the death penalty? Because that seems kind of premeditated. God. Ron and Raleigh pointing out, remember, if you comply, nothing will happen to you. He shouldn't ought to have run, then we wouldn't have had to drag him out and beat him to death. Steve adding, I just can't understand why people hate cops. Not all cops! Maybe not, but too damn many. Jesus Christ. Whew. Vile bastards. It's kind of like Brother Deacon Asa said, yeah, there's a lot of cleanup needs done on aisle 45. And of course, the Bill Pepe the Frog Bar to Prosecution Justice Department never would have touched this. Well, he should not have had run. Ron needed killing every day of his life. I mean, hell, these guys, apparently the Louisiana State Police might just as well go ahead and wear the robes and hoods and have done with it. Not to mention, Jeremy in Vermont adds, this was a notorious unit known for its bad behavior. Well, it certainly seems like they lived up to it. Yeah. Again, I hope the family prevails, but it serves nothing by way of bringing back Mr. Green. And some pettifogger, if the thing goes to trial, will be there to besmirch and otherwise trash Mr. Green's reputation and life in order to keep insurance from having to pay for this shitty behavior. And we wonder why it is that we need to get rid of qualified immunity for police. That wasn't negligence. That was intentional conduct. Let me see your hands, motherfucker! Hope he didn't have fucking AIDS. Kind of makes me wish he'd had Ebola. Ooh, that was bad. I apologize. So here we are at the top of the hour. We still have $135 to go on Tracy's Paul Mooney Memorial Challenge. And hopefully we will knock that down because we really need to finish the week, okay? We need to fully fund the... This program does not run on a whole lot of funding. I mean, if you look at the budget of other programs, you'll find that it's actually quite the bargain. And, you know, 135 and then 25 and then 15. And that would get us down to, it'd knock out, what did I say? For a total of, 190? Which would be 380, which would get us down to $500 to go. So it's a great time to double your money. And in the meantime, let's run over to the old holler tree and check in with Sparky. Hey, Sparky.
Hey, Robin.
That was a great clip. Thank you for sending that.
Well, I had to.
That was just brilliant.
Once this
windy day out there?
Oh, it is at times. It gets calm and down, and then all of a sudden the wind starts picking up again, and then you'll get blasted.
Is it just normal for this time of year? Is there a front coming in or what?
No, it's not normal for this time of year.
Nothing is anymore, right?
Right. Yeah. Yesterday, I looked out, and here's two big old limbs come off the redwood tree.
Oh, hell.
So I go out there. I had to chop them off and drag them out. And I'm looking up I got a new view. I don't know where they came from. I can't see where they broke off, but it's more open, and it's like, maybe it's not a good idea to be standing under here during this windstorm.
That's called a moment of inspiration.
Yeah, so I'm not going to do that again. These windstorms seem to have taken down a lot of limbs around here.
Oh, are they out of the north, out of the west? Where are they from?
North.
Huh. Oh, did you see the story about the... I thought of you because I immediately thought of the state of Jefferson. But those Oregon counties that have declared that they wish to be part of Idaho...
Yeah, I saw that. I just looked at the map of the counties and you go, maggots.
Just another maggot problem.
Yeah. Some of the same counties they wanted to become state of Jefferson.
They were some of the same?
Well, there's a couple that were included in the state of Jefferson. The old state of Jefferson, I mean. The first state of Jefferson. You know about that, don't you?
Yes.
That's way back in the 40s. But I don't see the double X stickers too much around here.
Yeah, maybe they're just disheartened now that their God Emperor got...
Yeah, well, the one friend I had that harassed me like to no end before the election, he doesn't even talk to me anymore.
Well, probably because you were in on, Q's told him that you were in on stealing the election, Sparky.
Yeah, from home.
Yeah. Jesus, these people.
Regarding those counties in Southern Oregon... Correct me, Robin, you'll probably know about it. Apparently, when West Virginia and Virginia separated, the people of West Virginia had to buy their way out and pay back Virginia for all the infrastructure that got transferred into West Virginia.
There was debt,
and
yeah.
And it took them something like until the 1940s to pay it all off.
It was crazy, yeah. And the Virginia didn't take it well, and the reason, Roger, that West Virginia looks the shape is, my state is the only state in the union, remember, that forms an obscene gesture. If you take your right hand, with your palm facing you, and you stick your middle finger up and your thumb out, that's West Virginia. And the reason it looks so odd is because there was a county-by-county referendum, and only the counties that voted to split from Virginia became the new state, because more counties than just the ones that form West Virginia were in the referendum.
Well, the reason I bring that up is it would appear that Idaho... if they were to accept those counties, would have to pay Oregon for the infrastructure that the state owns in those counties.
Oh, I think most assuredly so.
Now, my question is, would the people in what is now Idaho want to come up with the money to incorporate and become a... state that has access to the ocean, or would it force the people in those counties to buy themselves out? Now, most of the people that are in those counties are pissing and moaning all the time about having to pay all kinds of taxes but not getting any benefits from the taxes because those damn liberals in Portland and Eugene and Springfield and that kind of thing and Salem are always stealing their money, and they're not getting anything for it. So it could be a very interesting little number if Kate Brown and liberal Oregon went, hey, fine, leave. Except the bill is going to be X million dollars. And then have a little bit of discussion as to who's going to pay all those liberals for all that money so that they can have more communism in liberal Oregon. But we, conservatives in rural Oregon, are going to have to pay for it. I just think it'd be kind of a fun sit.
Oh, I think that's absolutely hilarious. And the funny thing is, you know, where the eastern United States has South Carolina to look to for sedition, more or less these days, Idaho is one of the homes of it, you know, out west. Because they've got a candidate running for governor, I think, and she's an active supporter of QAnon.
Well, Idaho, Montana, and the Dakotas are may as well be in the deep south. They are just super red and super stupid.
You left out Wyoming. Why?
Well, it's there too.
Oh. I was hoping there might be some redeeming value, but no.
Well, the redeeming value of Wyoming is Yellowstone National Park.
True.
And the Tetons. I mean, there's some beautiful country there. But as far as politics, it's nuts.
Well, you know,
my thought on the...
No, that's hilarious. No, that's ours. We's the taxpayers. We paid for it. We're going to take it with us. I'll take it with you. But you were taxpayers in Oregon. Pay up.
Yeah, and we're
But I don't even know constitutionally if that could happen now. There were, to say the very least, exigent circumstances on or about June the 20th, 1863.
Well, but there's three states that came up with this. One of them is Maine, which used to be part of Massachusetts. And then there's West Virginia. And now I can't remember the third one. But there was a third one. And then, of course, the Dakota Territory being split into two. But in all those cases, the new state has to agree, the old state has to agree, and then it has to be approved by the legislature in Washington, D.C. And this has been one of the hang-ups in dividing California, and that is a Republican Senate would never, ever agree because California could be divided into six Democratic senators or four and two, depending on how the divisions went. Four Democrats, two Republicans.
Well, yeah, that provision existed specifically at the time that Texas entered the Union. Texas could have entered as several states instead of one.
And my deep down recollection is that their admission into the Union permits them to divide at any time they so choose into three separate states.
I've read that, and I've also read that it was foreclosed at the time they elected to be one state.
Well, I'm not a Texas historian.
Are we talking about Texas?
Yeah.
I thought it was five states.
I think it is.
Yeah, okay, 5-3.
But I've got a question going back to West Virginia, and I should know this, having been born and raised in Virginia. Why did West Virginia split off? I really don't remember.
Because they had they really had nothing in common with old Virginia. There was not nearly the population here of slaveholders. I mean, slavery did exist in what is now West Virginia, but not nearly on the scale that it did in Virginia because the land here did not readily give itself to
massive slave plantations because too many mountains.
It's not farmland.
Right, it's fucking mountains. I mean, you got a lot of farmers, but they're smallholders. And so a movement got going because this side of the Trans-Allegheny didn't want to secede from the Union. There was no point, no purpose. So when Virginia finally voted to secede, the move began almost immediately to be shed of that, you know.
Yeah, okay.
And the legitimate government of Virginia in exile for a time during the Civil War was in what is now West Virginia.
Okay. I've got some good news, by the way.
Yes?
Are you sitting down?
Did you just you save 15% on your car insurance?
No, I don't even have a car.
I'm just trying to...
I don't buy things from geckos or whatever that little lizard creature is. I just don't. It's a point of personal pride with me not to deal with reptiles in commerce, you know? I guess it's a reptile, whatever it is. But, yeah, I was down at my CVS pharmacy this afternoon after visiting the doctor to get some renewals on my regular prescriptions, and I went and, you know, turned in the script, and she said it would be 15 minutes, and I said, oh, by the way, do you all do walk-ins for COVID vaccines? And she said, usually by appointment, but since you're here and we've got an extra dose because someone didn't keep their appointment, I got my first COVID shot today.
What flavor?
Moderna, I think she said it was.
How you feeling? Moderna.
I feel fine. Over the years, I've had a number of injections, you know, for medical reasons. And I literally did not feel, you know, I rolled up my sleeve, okay, and I don't like to watch because I'm kind of needle phobic. So I kind of turned away, and out of the corner of my eye, she started walking away. She had her little tray with a cotton ball and a syringe and all that. And I thought, well, where the hell is she going? And she said, that's it.
And it was really quick, wasn't it?
It was quick, and I literally did not feel it. It wasn't even a pinch.
I had the same thing. I said to the guy, okay, tell me when you're going to do it. And he said, it's done.
Yeah. And like I say, I've had a lot of shots over the years, but I've never had a shot that I didn't feel.
My blood test yesterday was more painful than a shot.
Well, now, see, that's another
thing. I got a big old bruise on my arm when they took the blood out, too.
Well, today, like I said, before I went to the pharmacy, I was at the doctor, and they always want to take about 4 vials of blood for various and sundry reasons. She tried my left arm and couldn't get a hit. She tried my right arm and couldn't get a hit. She said, you got great veins, but for some reason she wasn't able to get, you know. So I said, okay, I'll come back next week when, you know, because she said, I don't want to try it again in either arm because you can get, I forget what she said I could get, but I didn't want to get whatever it was that she said, so. So now I got three more holes than I woke up with today. But anyway, I'm very happy. I'm relieved that I finally got around to somebody. When I posted about it on Facebook today, somebody said, I never knew you were an anti-vaxxer. And I said, well, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I'm a pro-procrastinator. There's a difference. So anyway, that was my adventure in downtown Oz today.
Well, I'm doggone happy for you. And make sure you get your second one. No, when I got my Pfizer, I watched. I can't help it. I watch when the needle goes in. But there's such a fine gauge needle. I never felt it.
literally never felt the injection. Now, my first time through, my arm got very, very sore over the next 24 hours, and I had a headache. And it was Sparky who made the suggestion, and I followed it. Get it in your other arm. Get the second shot in your other arm.
Well, you know what's weird, since I didn't watch when she was doing it, the other night on one of the news programs, I think it was on the little town hall meeting President Biden a couple of weeks ago that Lester Holt anchored.
Yeah.
People in the audience, it was a young black. Well, he finally got his vaccine, and there was a camera crew, and Lester was there, and the guy's mom was there, and they both got the vaccine. I have never seen such a large needle in my life. The length of the needle was like one of those Louisiana mosquitoes, a real long, not stinger, but you know what I mean. So that's one of the reasons I don't like to look, because I don't like to watch needles going into me or anybody else. But I watched this on Nightly News last night, and I said, good God. It just seemed like one of those novelty shop needles that used to be popular when I was a kid.
Scott?
Yes, sir.
Seen Pulp Fiction.
I have seen Pulp Fiction. Oh, okay. And that freaked me the fuck right out.
Yeah.
They had the interview last night on Lawrence O'Donnell, the mother-son, and then
that's right, it was Lawrence O'Donnell. I'm sorry, I get my...
The gal that was involved with the Moderna vaccine, it was in part of the town hall.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right, I don't know. I catch about every third word. That was before I had the shot. God knows if it does go bad.
She's got some new gig. I was reading, I heard some elite Harvard medical school's name, clinic or whatever, and she's going to do research on vaccines that would combat any emerging threats.
Yeah. Well, she was on one of the news magazine shows. I forget what the doctor's name is, but that woman has probably forgotten more than most people know. I mean, and she's a beautiful woman, it pleases me to know that some people are that talented in their field. I thought it was a case of someone being born for that purpose. Her first name is Kizzy. It's short for her full name. Her first name, Kizzy something or other. Doctor, I think she's down in North Carolina, but she's moving up north. She's going to hook up with Johns Hopkins or somewhere in the mid-Atlantic states.
I heard it was something at Harvard.
Or was it Harvard?
Yeah.
See, I tell you, I catch every third word. Anyway, that's neither here nor there.
But I got a kick out of it when I was in the clinic yesterday. They had signs everywhere. COVID-19 vaccine available. They have a Pfizer vaccine there. All you have to do is call and make a call, because I think they don't defrost it. They only do it one day a week.
Oh, and my apologies if you hear background noise, that whirring sound. Those are the lawnmower and weed eater batteries recharging.
Yeah. I was going to ask, what brand do you got?
Ego.
Oh, so you got the same thing I do.
Yeah, with the green, yeah, the big heavy green and black batteries.
Yeah, I got a blower, and I bought a hedge trimmer too.
I've got the.
I was thinking about getting a chainsaw now without Slim's coming down yesterday.
Well, I got the walk behind self propelled mower, and I've got the weed eater, and I really want the chainsaw. But they don't carry the chainsaw at my local Lowe's.
You can get it on Amazon.
And the thing, you know, but God, the batteries ain't cheap.
No, you can get the chainsaw without batteries, and it comes in two lengths, and the bar lengths are different.
Yeah, I don't have to have something huge, but I got there's this strange breed of tree. I mean, it's not strange, but anyway, it's one of those that grows from the roots that spreads like a network. And if I'm gonna clear out the acre this year, I've got to get one of those. Because they're past nippering. But I wonder how long the battery lasts on the chainsaw. But you know, since it's not hydrocarbon fueled, it's not sitting there idling. You know, blah, 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 blah. It's just, you know, whenever you want it, you press the button, right?
Well, there's two buttons.
Okay.
It looks just like it's got the same body on it.
I mean, you still have to use bar oil and everything on it, though, right? I mean, you got to keep the bar and chain lubricated.
Yeah, it's got a reservoir on the side.
Oh, cool.
And the battery goes in on.
And I noticed they've even got a couple of generators, but that seems kind of counterproductive because you have to charge the, if you're going to use the generator in a power outage, how are you going to charge the damn batteries?
Well, the generator should put out enough to do the batteries plus. I would think the generator side of that would be for you're out on a job site, you're building something, and so you have the generator going to run like a small table saw or something of that sort, but then you have to put the batteries to charge up, so you've got the ability to be charging batteries plus getting your 120. The Makita has a setup where actually it plugs into the wall, but it's got the radio and then a bunch of outlets for running extension cords, and then it's got places where you slide the batteries in to charge up while you're on the job site.
No, that would make more sense.
That's not a gas generator, but it's a power unit for your job site, to where you can deal with the tools. Now, I happen to be a Makita person, but there's DeWalt's and a couple others. What would happen if you got one of the little saber saws, because you can get all kinds of different blades for them, or the Sawzall type unit to do your, quote, chainsaw work, unquote, if you're only cutting something that's like 2 or 3 inches diameter, a Sawzall type unit of a Makita variety would probably be able to cut them and have your scroll saw to be using for something else down the road. Whereas if you get a chainsaw, you're not going to do any kind of fine work with a chainsaw.
No, that's true. That's true. That's a good point.
I have a little Milwaukee Sawzit. Fits in their palming hand, uses a little M12 battery on it, lithium battery. I bought flashlights too, and I got a drill, so I got batteries for everything. And I got two chargers, but I only use one of them.
Well, I've had a Makita cordless drill for quite a while, but then I was doing some work down on the greenhouses and decided I wanted what's called a multi-tool, that little vibrating blade that you can take grout out of a tile thing, and you see them advertised on TV every once in a while. It uses the same battery as the cordless drill. And I've been real happy with what I've had to use that one for. But when I was buying it, God, they've got little skill-type rotary skill-type saws. They've got all kinds of different stuff that all operate off the same battery. But you do want to stay with the one-name brand, because the DeWalt, the Bosch, and the Makita all use different batteries. So you can't take a Makita battery and slap it in a DeWalt tool.
No.
So be cautious of that.
Last cordless tools we are used on, I used on the job, were DeWalt. We had a DeWalt Sawzall, DeWalt 18, all 18 volt drill motor, and then my boss carried around a DeWalt circular saw too.
Oh, and I just had an update on the doctor in question. Ron in Raleigh tells us Dr. Kismakia Shanta Corbett. She was born in Hurdle Mills, North Carolina, graduated from UNC Chapel Hill. And so that is the answer to that question. And Ron says, I have an Ego chainsaw with a 16-inch bar, works like a champ. Cleared storm-damaged oak trees with it. The pole saw is next. Yeah, they're just genius little pieces. And one of the things that just thrilled me about the Weed Eater is the vibrations from the gas-powered ones. And the weight made my ruined neck really suffer. This thing's light as a feather, and the coolest thing about the Weed Eater is it's got a self-loading spool. So it's not just, you don't just bump it to get the, no. You push a button and it sucks up the fresh the fresh, you know, string.
I've been looking at those things for a month or two, I don't have a Lowe's next to me, and that's where they sell them.
Hey, John Bredevaux.
Hello, Robin.
How in the world are you?
I was talking about that because I am not shitting you. I was thinking about, because I see them advertised on TV, I wonder how them ergos are. Ego.
I've got the walk-behind self-propelled mower.
Yeah.
And it's got so damn much torque it can pull your shoulders out of your sockets.
Good deal.
And
feel better about making a decision of mine.
And the Weed Eater, the battery that comes with it is the smaller battery, and it's good for about 15 minutes.
Yeah.
But you can put the bigger. What size is that?
5 amp hour.
Yeah, it's the 5 amp hour battery, and it adds a little bit more weight, but it also adds a good bit more time.
Yeah. How in the hell are you, Robin?
I'm kind of tired, John. I have not been able to just stay home and do nothing for a single day this week. Just errand after errand after errand after errand. Car repairs, for once, I need the weekend. And this weekend is the continuing odyssey of trying to throw away 20 years worth of crap.
Oh, shit.
So that's Saturday and Sunday, and then they come get the dumpster on Monday.
Thank goodness for Beer and Bud Friday.
Oh, God.
Telling you.
I mean, I could use it come close of the program.
I was listening to you earlier. I'm sorry, I'm still in the process of uploading my show. My show's not on the air yet. I'm uploading it as we speak. But I was listening to earlier when you was talking about, the Louisiana case. Ain't that some shit?
God, that's infuriating.
It is maddening. It is maddening. And I share your outrage with what the Louisiana State Police came out and said. They're concerned, this unauthorized release of this video is going to interrupt our investigation. Kiss my ass. You've been on this 2 years. There ain't no investigation. There will be.
You're busted, you bastards.
Busted, yeah. No shit, you lied. Your officers lied. You backed them up and you hid this shit.
Well, the one that gives me is
the truth forever.
That they say he
died because he ran into a tree at high speed, and then there's a picture of the goddamn car. There's no way in hell that car ran into a tree.
It looked like it.
He bumped into the tree.
In the back, the rear quarter panel was the only damage I saw. No, he didn't die from an impact with a tree. He died with the impact of a contempt of cop. You piss a cop off?
The airbags didn't even deploy.
You know, it's that attitude of police officers. When you piss them off, they're not any different than anybody else. You piss them off. Fuck yeah, he's going to fuck you up as much as he can.
The difference is...
Not every officer, I'm sure. I pray, hope, all that kind of shit.
The difference is when somebody pisses me off, I don't happen to be packing a six shooter and can blow you away and walk away from it with no hassle.
Exactly.
Even if I was packing a six shooter and blew you away when you pissed me off, I'd still be facing a lot of shit.
Well, Steve in New York was absolutely right. This is a lynching.
Yeah.
Intentional. The man was on his stomach and they're tasing him four times in the back. What the doctor said. They had four taser marks in the back.
Really?
While he's asking you, I'm sorry. I was scared. I'm your brother. Please.
That was, oh my God. I'm your brother.
They're dragging him by his shackled feet face down on the asphalt.
If you've done it unto the least of these, my brothers, you've done it also unto me.
Yes.
Jesus said that.
And you know how that guy fella, that fellow was. He loved the downtrodden and the poor, and didn't he?
Yeah, but I bet you them Louisiana State Police officers and deputy sheriffs. Oh, I bet you they some fine Christians, John Bridevo.
Oh, you know they are. You know they are. Probably some of them evangelicals saved again, and they don't have to worry about nothing. They're gonna get to heaven. Yeah. I hope they burn it. You know, one of them died the day he found out that they were going to fire him for this incident. The next day, he died in a car crash. The next day. I don't want to speak ill of the dead, but it seems to me he's looking to make sure the damn insurance paid off. Damn.
I'm wondering if he crashed his own car or whether he crashed a citizen-owned car.
I don't know.
I wonder if he bumped his car into a tree and then the other guys that he was with went and finished the job just like they did on Mr. Green.
Well, of course, that's what they do. Shit, not to their own, baby. It's embarrassing for the state of Louisiana. It's an embarrassment for the Louisiana State Police. It's an embarrassment for all over this country because we're told what written police report said. And according to the video that we've all seen, the police report is a bunch of bullshit. A bunch of bullshit lies.
Well, that was the only place I was going to take issue with you, John. It's only an embarrassment to the Louisiana State Police if Louisiana State Police are generally not like that.
It's an embarrassment for everybody in this country because we have created an atmosphere to where police, like Louisiana State Police in this instance, feel that they can get away with it. Like the case out in Elizabeth City. We don't have to show you nothing. It's ours. That's not, they work for us. They protect and serve us. We should not have to hunt and demand to see the evidence, the video evidence of one of your officers in his acts on duty. We shouldn't have to fight for that. But
and,
we do.
And what are they investigating? When the request was made for the video, after what, 2 years? They said, well, we can't release all of the video, just these little snippets, because the case is still being investigated.
My ass.
Well,
really?
Mine too. Mine too, John.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah, Scott, it's ridiculous. We're supposed to buy that.
That's the pity of it all in this country. These pockets and places and backwaters and stuff where, what was that Broderick Crawford movie where he was like the king of everything? in this place where he was.
That's all the king's men.
All the king's men.
Well, for a minute, local sheriffs.
In today's world, it's astonishing to me that in today's world, there are these pockets and backwaters and regions where the local constable is the end-all and be-all of power, and everybody cowers in his wake.
Scott?
Yep. Just about everywhere.
Scott?
Yeah.
I got news for you. It ain't backwaters.
Well, that too. You're right. You're right.
I mean, let me tell you something. 2 weeks ago, I got assaulted on the subway. Somebody broke my nose. I don't call the cops. I don't want them near me.
Jeez.
I don't want them near me.
That's sad. That's a sad statement right there.
Aren't those transit cops?
No, there are no transit cops. Everyone's NYPD.
Oh, I thought they had transit cops.
Nope.
That's sad when a citizen doesn't want to be involved with the police. With the police. The ones that we're all taught all our life to live up to, you know, law and order, be a good citizen. Trust the man in blue. He's going to help you. And we've seen over the years here, that's not entirely true, baby.
Not me.
Not in the black community, it's not, John. There's a reason the black community largely does not call the police when they have problems. Because bad shit is going to happen when they roll up.
Nothing ends well.
I don't call them. I don't call them at all. Noise. Someone was shooting fireworks off last night right in front of my building. I'm not going to call the cops. What are they going to do?
How many times does that end well? How many times have you talked to a New York police officer?
Five in 20 years. I have a friend of mine who's a cop. He actually taught at the academy. He's a gay Asian cop. Worked for the chief's, like, I don't know, some crime statistician. I won't go near him. I don't like him. My cousin's husband back in Ohio, he's a cop.
I was only in New York City for two days. And when I arrived on the train, the Grand Central Station, I needed to use the bathroom. And my buddy says, I don't know where it's at. I said, you live here. I don't. And I seen this cop standing over there. I walked over and asked him. And he pointed. It's over there. I said, thank you, sir, and walked on. And then later that day, we were in Times Square, and we were looking at how to get to the Intrepid. And there was two cops. There was cop on a horse and a cop standing. And I asked him, walked over and asked him how to get to the Intrepid. And he just turned around and said, go right down that street right there.
There are transit cops in the train that you went on, but that's a different system. That's why in Grand Central, they have that's what's called Metro North. They have their own cops.
Hey, real quick, let me just jump in here. I need to put out some thank yous just real quick. because thanks to Elizabeth and Jeremy, and thank you so much, Scott, in Wisconsin. Tracy's Paul Mooney Memorial Challenge has been met, and we are $10 into Joey and Giraffe's Get God Vaccinated Challenge. There's 15 left to go on that, and 15 left to go on Steve's I'll Dance at Your Wedding Challenge. So there's $30 in challenges yet remaining. You can double your money, and that will take us down to 580, which means it will be another 280, and we're done with yesterday. And I'm just kind of hoping that we really, really knock this week out. So thank you again to everybody who's jumped in.
It's more difficult, isn't it, Robin?
Yeah, it is. It really, really is.
It is. I urge anybody out there that that has a few extra dollars, if you can afford it, to donate, to make that donation, because it keeps Robin on the air. This is not easy to do, and since the election, I've noticed in our show drastically, as a matter of fact, after the big election and people settled down a bit, we're getting through a pandemic here. We got, you know, you're going to be able to take your mask off some places. You'll get out and smell the roses again. And I know Robin's income has dropped substantially. I know mine has, and others that do this, has dropped off drastically.
John, I haven't talked to anybody who does this.
It's not any cheaper.
Yeah, I haven't talked to anybody who does this who hasn't seen the same thing happen with their audiences.
Yeah, yeah. And it was predictable. We all knew it was coming, but it nonetheless, it still hurts. You still have to pay the bills. You still have things to do to make this all work. So I implore anybody out there that if you have, it's just like donating to your favorite public service television or something. And I remind you all, where else are you going to find such fine entertainment as right here? You ain't. That's it. And for the donations that sent in, I believe you reap much benefit from being a part of this Horn family. So, again, it's off times. It's hard right now for a lot of people that do this. And so I implore you, donate if you can.
Thank you, John. Thank you so very much.
Well, it's the only way we keep your voice on the air, baby. You know, and this coming up, baby, we can't let our guard down now. 2022, you know what it means. They're coming back with a vengeance, and they want it. We can't let them have it, baby. So the voices have to continue, and the only that way that happens.
And I don't know, John, I don't know if people realize, but we are still in a fight for our very existence.
Oh man, look at what's happening right now. You know, we compromised. We dropped what, from 2.225 trillion to 1.7 on the infrastructure. We had a bipartisan group in the House trying to negotiate a deal on the January 6th commission, and they came to an agreement, and they stabbed us in the back. And McCarthy and McConnell don't want nothing to do with it. You know, the Republican Party, I'm getting tired of getting stabbed in the back and then being accused of carrying a concealed weapon. Kiss my ass.
No, you know, shit.
There's good faith in this.
I'm sure Robin's Congress critter was a member of that club along with ours, John.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm sure.
Well, why did we let it happen? Sure. Why did the Speaker of the House fall for it? Why did she fall for it? Does she not know how these Republicans are? I mean, I'm sorry. I know that people in this community, they admire Nancy Pelosi, and she served this country well. But I'm sorry, but she has to go. We can't have her for another. We can't.
Well, John, she said that if we hold the House in 22, she's going to make room for somebody else. And odds are that somebody else is going to be Hakeem. I'd bet on Hakeem Jeffries.
All right, I'm not trying to accuse her of being terrible.
I put money on that.
I'm just tired of
that. She has served well in the House, but as with many, I'm looking for a younger generation of politicians coming in. I don't know. I'm very progressive. I want to see this country move forward. In my book, Democrats need to get a lot more aggressive. Every time they're in office, every time the Republicans office, they shove everything they want up our butt. They got their tax cut. They don't give a shit about nothing. When Obama was in, McConnell made it the number one thing to limit his terms. Didn't work out, but that was his main focus. Now, what is he saying? He's 100% focused on making sure the Biden administration does not fulfill, their agenda.
Yeah, wouldn't it just be something if a Republican would actually focus on doing something decent for the United States for a change? But that's me. Let's jump over to
the thing about Republicans is they don't give a shit if they hurt the country and hurt the people, because they'll do that and then start making a commercial about, oh, look at how bad things are here in the country. We could get in there and fix this. No, it's their fault that we can't get this shit done.
Exactly. Yeah, let's go to Steve in Georgia. Steve.
Blobbin, what's happening, man?
I don't know it. How about you?
Dave, I don't know, man. Who would want to be a part of Idaho? That's like saying I always wanted to visit Macon, Georgia. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
I've been to Macon, so that joke works for me, Skeeve.
Yeah, I don't get it. And as far as the police go, I get extremely paranoid when one gets behind my car because nothing good is going to come out of it. I've never had one pull me over and say, hey, really like the way you made that right turn back there. You know, it doesn't work.
Hold on. That was a world-class right turn, buddy. Use the signal and everything.
Everything. Right. You know that not anything good's going to come out of it. And to John's point, it should not be this way. And I really think it happened when the war on drugs, this ridiculous war on drugs, really escalated this overreach by law enforcement. And that's what it is. It's an overreach.
Well, I agree with Robin when she said, if the police pull you over and they say, can we search your car? Just remember Nancy Reagan. Just say no. No, you can't.
Precisely.
Uncle John, I have talked to some policemen that have told me when you say no in the back of their minds, that tells them that's reasonable cause. And they're going to say, well, we smelt this or we seen that.
I don't give a good goddamn what they saw or smelled.
What you smell.
They're going to have to drag a magistrate out at 2:00 in the morning.
Yep. Go get your ass a search warrant. Or we'll go get the drug dog. We'll go get his ass.
I'm
not giving consent for you to search shit. I probably don't have anything in my truck. Nothing.
It does help your case if you say no, and then they just powerhouse through and search anyhow, and I'm sure Steve will attest to that. Because they can get a warrant, and they can, usually do. They got the job, you know. Yes. The deck is stacked, man.
It is stacked. It is. For anybody that gives any cop a reason, like I call it contempt of cop. That's all it is. You piss off a cop, he is the fucking law right then. You know, it doesn't matter what the statute says.
You got to remember that most of the so-called traffic safety laws are actually just little piddly bullshit probable cause to stop laws. Really, my license tag light was out. Really,
that's the reason. And while you stopped here, do you mind if I search your car? Yeah. It is.
I mean, that shit happens around here all the time because we're a tourist town. And so if you got an out-of-state plate, they know that you'll just pay the damn ticket and because you're not going to be here to fight it in court.
Yeah, it's like the law is just, you know.
And you know what the solution is? No one's going to like me saying this. Abolish them. I challenge someone to tell me what do cops do?
Well, to quote Abraham Lincoln, if men or somebody, I can't remember now.
Madison.
If men were angels, we would need no laws, but we're not.
How long?
So what we have to realize is what we ask of the police. Well, you know, there are situations where we need the law, but.
What do they do?
Well, somebody robbing a bank, they go try to catch the bank robber. Somebody breaks into your house, they try to catch him. There are reasons that we have law enforcement, but we ask too much of them.
But in general, they do not protect. They only come after.
There to shoot somebody or arrest somebody when they're caught.
That was the point that I wanted to make. And by the way, thank you to Christopher. We are now down to $20 to go between Joey and Giraffe's Get God Vaccinated and Steve's Dance at Your Wedding Challenge. We're $20 to go from having that met, and that'll take us down to $580. So thank you, Chris. Thank you so very much. But I did want to make the point that in jurisdiction after jurisdiction after jurisdiction, there have been lawsuits, and they're called failure to protect lawsuits. These are people who were hurt, and the cops did not do anything to protect them from being hurt.
And I don't mean like, you know, they didn't have a policy. I mean, we're talking about a situation where a guy's being robbed or stabbed or mugged, and there's a cop standing there, and the cop does nothing. There have been oodles of lawsuits filed on those things, failure to protect suits, and they are routinely dismissed. And the reason for that they are dismissed is that the police have no affirmative duty to protect anyone. And that's just a little known fact about police in the United States.
Which, Robin, that begs the question, what do they do? And when I ask that question, I'm not being facetious. I asked my aunt, who's, you know, my cousin. That's my cousin's mom, and it's her son-in-law. Well, she's like, oh, people hate the cops. I thought, well, maybe they ought to quit killing black people for having having an air freshener up from their mirror. What do they do?
Well, and a friend of mine for a very long time has had an answer to that. And it's actually, I think it's a legitimate answer. They are tax collectors in funny hats.
That's exactly what they are. Do you know, in New York City alone, you know how much I'll call them the pigs because I don't like them. You know how much the pigs and their minions collect in parking tickets every year? It's close to $1 billion.
It's a racket.
And guess how much they spend in settling cases of police brutality.
You know, I met my sheriff here in Nueces County, Texas, one time. We had a flood here. I live on the river. Cut the story short, they towed away one of our vehicles, a friend of mine's vehicle, because we tried to get it out of the flood, parked it in the end of the road, ran back to get our donkeys out, and by the time we got back, vehicle's towed off. Okay. All right, let's go into town, go get the car. Go get the car. It's $400. I go in there with my card. No, sorry, we don't accept cards. Anyway, I'm pissed off, so I leave to go get the cash. My friend doesn't want me to go in because I made that comment. I'll go in. You sit out here in the car. So I'm outside in the car, and while I'm there, this Suburban pulls up. Hispanic guy over in the driver's seat with a Nueces County Sheriff's Department hat on, a little girl, probably about 7-8 years old, jumps out the passenger side, runs in the building. Comes out with a fucking stack of cash you could choke a horse with. I know what I saw. So I reported it. And lo and behold, way out here on the edge of my county, the sheriff showed up and brought a photo lineup of his deputies. All six of them, I think they were. Is any one of these the guy? No. I don't expect he would be. And those aren't the only officers you have working in your command. There's a big auxiliary. I don't know how it happened. But I told him at that time that if I get pulled over one freaking time because I'm a law-abiding citizen, don't do shit, ain't been pulled over. If I start getting pulled over out here and getting harassed, I said, I'm going to make a stink out of this shit like you ain't never seen. And that's the only contact I had. But I know what I saw. It was a payoff from a towing company to the sheriff's office because that's how it works. That's how it works. You could, the sheriff, when he's going to tow your car off, could call any record. But if there's a deal, baby, he knows which one to call. So those kind of grift things, they're constant in law enforcement. And I can only imagine what they would be in New York City. Are you shitting me?
Well, we tend to think in terms of, you know, cops don't make a lot of money. But if Steve, you tell me if I'm wrong, but a New York City cop can pull down six figures.
Well, my friend who was like 35 years old was with overtime was making like 160.
Yeah, and the OT is the key.
That's the key.
The OT and the extra gigs, you know, working a nightclub or something, you know, all in your off hours. You make some
money. That was happening during the big dig in Boston. Cops were making 80, 90, 100, some of them $200,000 a year because of sleeping on interstates during the big dig.
Oh, and here's the best part. They take a pension, and they'll do, like, private work in their cop uniform. I'm sorry. There's nothing you can say to me that will tell me that they're worth it. And I actually did some research. Wait a minute, just real quick. I'm sorry, okay. Scott. Real quick, I did a little bit of quick and dirty research, and there is a body of research that says that actually cops cause crime. They don't prevent crime. And I think about myself, my personal experiences, in the least crime-ridden areas of New York, there's no fucking cops around. Now, what they would say is, well, we don't need to be there. We need to be in the areas that have all the crime. And my thought was, well, wait a minute. If these areas have all the crime and you're there, maybe something didn't quite right. Okay, I put my soapbox back under my desk.
Well, and before Scott jumps in, just one thing that bears remembering. You were talking about they draw a pension. I don't know about anywhere else, but like the state police in West Virginia, who again, since a couple of days ago was the 100th anniversary of the Matewan massacre. The state police in West Virginia were created out of work Baldwin thugs, mine detectives who were, you know, strike breakers and knee breakers. But the state police here, you will find that a lot of them are also veterans, or they'll be members of the National Guard. Because, and I'm not besmirching the good name of the military, I'll leave that to Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, because he's doing a fine job of it. But the state police here, they get credit toward their pension for their military service. So they get we pay their pension for service that they rendered the United States of America.
In a completely different context,
capacity, and setting.
And purpose. And please understand, I'm not advocating for everyone carrying a gun, self-policing. All I'm saying is, look, I'm looking at the situation. I'm staring at it. And I'm going, again, I ask the question. And if anybody can answer my question seriously and give me examples, great. What do they fucking do? They don't stop crime.
You know, again, you fall back on the fall of men were angels. We wouldn't need to fuck that in, but they're not. In society, if you take away any kind of law and order, would go delve into anarchy. It would just crumble. So
I don't agree with
the
you,
need
Donna.
To reform with that. Well, we ask the police at the same time that they want to respond to a bank robbery. We also ask them to respond to a car accident out on the freeway where there's three dead kids in the front seat. It's a lot to carry around with you. You know, you can't disparage them all across the country. Is there need for reform? Oh, shit, yeah. The Justice and Floyd Justice and Policing Act, the George Floyd Act, that's a big one. Pass that shit. There needs to be standardized rules and qualifications. We can't have.
I think the single. Yeah, I think the single most.
Get another job.
I think the single most important thing is to get rid of qualified immunity.
Yes. Yes.
Because take, I mean, that. if say, using the example we're discussing this evening, if the Louisiana State Police are truly infuriated by the conduct, as opposed to the fact that people found out, but if they're infuriated and embarrassed and horrified by the conduct, then if you take away the individual officer's qualified immunity, you can clean up a lot. You can clean out a lot of bad cops with a lot of lawsuits. I mean, look at the tactic, John, that your state of Texas just took relative to a woman's right to choose. Now, in the state of Texas, if the law holds, and given the makeup of the Supreme Court, there's no reason to think it's that it won't. In the state of Texas now, if a rapist rapes a woman, gets her pregnant, and she aborts the rapist's baby, the rapist now has the right to sue the doctor who performed the abortion.
Ain't That's some
shit. If Uncle Daddy rapes his baby daughter and she gets pregnant and there's an abortion, Uncle Daddy gets to sue.
And Uncle Daddy and the rapist are both facing less time in jail than the doctor who performed the abortion or the woman who got the abortion.
You think these things suck? That's why Robin's voice is so important. If you know in your heart that we need to reform the police department, we need to reform how we respond to certain situations, the need for so many things in our society. The answer is to get in the fight. You can't sit back out there and you know, one of the big problems we have in this country is that a whole lot of fucking people don't vote and could give a shit less what their fellow citizens have to fucking endure. As long as they got their shit, they're fine.
Apathy.
That's what we can't have. We have to be involved. You have to be involved. You have to be informed. You have to have some kind of desire to make our own society better. And only by our power does that happen ever in our history. It is only when the masses rise that things change. Those that sit back and around
it's like, yeah, it's like New York. I've seen some pissing and moaning going on because there has been a statement made that the NYPD is not welcome at Pride. And I got no real problem with that because the whole reason for Pride starts with a cop riot and cops beating the shit out of gay people. Why the hell? I mean, that's like inviting the descendants of the Baldwin thugs to come to a commemoration of Matewan.
You know, Robin, you know what I think it is? It's more fundamental than that. And it's something you and I have talked about. There needs to be intersectionality with groups fighting for civil rights, whether that's black folks, gay folks, women folk. I looked at it as nothing more than gay folk going, you know what? We're going to stand with our black brothers and sisters and say, sorry, until you fucking reform yourselves and stop killing black people, you're not welcome. That's how I saw it.
You know,
makes perfect sense to me.
If you see me, if you've ever seen me on my show, or what I look like, well, your probably first thought would be, there's a maggot redhead. I mean, redneck. That's cowboy hat. That's what I wear. That's what I look like.
Yeehaw.
That's right, baby. That's me. That's me. And I'm liberal. Let me tell you something. What
you're
I've
the
always
worst nightmare,
said,
bro.
I don't fucking wear a tutu. But I will fucking fight to the death for the right for the guy standing next to him. If he wants to fucking wear one, he has that fucking right. And if you are not willing to do that, then quit calling yourself a fucking American.
Hey, John. John, I got to tell you, I don't know if you remember this, but in 2008, there was a group called Rednecks for Obama.
Well,
so I'm sorry. When I saw you, I just. And I'm not saying you're a redneck. I'm saying, but that's
what I look like. It's okay. A trap, baby. It's a trap, really. No, I've worn that hat ever since I was young. I've explained on one of my videos what that hat means to me, and it does. It sounds corny and all that shit, but it's the good guy thing. All that shit, the guy, whatever the fuck. But that's who I am.
Let me jump in here. We got two hands up. Whoa! Freeze! We've had two hands up for quite a while now. And the only way this hand wig is working
is if we use it.
It's going to work. If we use it. If not, let's just put it.
Yeah, Scott
and John.
Yeah, Scott and then John.
I had two things. One for Stephen, Georgistan, and one for Stephen, New York. In terms of Steve's question about what do they do? Why are they there? What do they do in terms of the cops? I refer you to, and I forget which album it was, but Lenny Bruce did an exquisitely brilliant bit about law enforcement. And you can probably find it if you look around. And I won't even try to explain how he explained it. but it was pitch perfect and right on in all regards. And I think he did it in like 1961 about law enforcement and their role in society. Check that out if you can find it somewhere, because he lays it out beautifully. And for Steve in Georgetown, I had the listening tip for Steve in New York. For Steve in Georgetown, I have a viewing tip. And I can't remember whether it's Netflix or Prime, but you can find both. It's a documentary called The Framing of John DeLorean. And I'm not going to, you know, let him off from the big cocaine buy that he was busted for. But I'll tell you, I learned a lot about him and the
hell of a flux capacitor, that.
He's an American badass.
Impressive documentary. It didn't sway me in terms of it was right there on videotape, folks. But anyway, watch that. The Framing of John DeLorean. I think you'll thank me later.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Scott. And John, go ahead. Forrester.
Oh, thanks. I did see that the other day, Scott. Like, that, I actually heard about him, and he's American badass, I think. But like, I heard about him on this podcast that you can find on Podbean by these two leftist comedians, and it's called The Dollop, and it's about American history, and it's very, very fascinating, actually. I mean, like, a lot of it's like random stories like that and others that basically tells you how crazy this country is and always has been. Like, they got the other day he had one about Pope Night, which Guy Fawkes Night, and then the colonials kind of made it their own, and they basically took Guy Fawkes' celebration and they turned it into a thing where they burned a Pope in effigy because the Protestants really hated the Catholics. And yeah, and they did that for years until George Washington, whom I, you know, who I've had a lot of problems with, actually kind of quashed it because he made a statement that says that that is a ridiculous and childish custom, and he didn't want his army to celebrating that. But anyway, I digress. So things I wanted to talk about. The first thing I wanted to ask, well, I'll just talk about this election that happened the other day in Pennsylvania, where there was four ballot measures and that the state legislature, the MAGA state legislature, slipped in on a primary election because they know that that's the only way it'll pass. And it barely passed too, where it stripped the governor of his emergency declaration power. So basically that effectively ended all the COVID restrictions pretty much that are from the governor's office, or that flew through executive orders and stuff. So that basically that's done. They're about to vote on it. They're about to vote. The law basically says that the legislature has to approve it if it's over 21 days, and it's obviously been over 21 days. So they're about to go vote on that, and they're probably going to vote, you know, to end the declaration. But I guess not enough people got out and voted. So I hated to see the Republicans, you know, get a win on that. But and the other thing I wanted to say was, you cannot find Mate One. I could not find it anywhere.
Really?
I went on Amazon to. I thought, oh man, I was excited. Thursday, you know, I work 4 10-hour days. You know, I have off Fridays. So like, you know, Thursday, I'm like all day long, I'm like, I cannot wait to get home to watch this movie, man. I was so excited, and I looked for it on Amazon, and it wasn't there. And I don't know where else you can, other than maybe going out. Well, there's no video stores you can go on to anymore. So, I mean, I don't know if there's any platform that actually has that where you can rent stuff.
Try Vimeo. I don't know that it's there, but that might be worth a shot.
Well, usually if you just go to, I hate to even say the word Google, but if you go to Google and just Google the name of the movie, it'll list for you where you can get it. And
well, see, I tried to, but it didn't really.
No, I mean, no. That's what I'm saying. I'm looking here. There's a listing for.
What's it called again? I missed that.
Mate One. M A T E W A N.
W A N. Okay, thank you.
David Strathern, Chris Cooper, James Earl Jones, Mary McDonnell, you know. Okay, there's the Amazon link. Let's see what it says. You can get it on DVD and VHS for crazy money.
Yeah. Yep. $40.
Yeah. Like well, I had no idea. I wonder why it was through Lionsgate. So who owns Lionsgate? Who's keeping? Is it Disney? Is it HBO?
Well, you said just a bit with Dan. You were talking about with Dan the other day that they suppressed that shit. And there's a lot of stuff in America.
Oh yeah, history was absolutely suppressed because. My God, if you want to read about it in book form, John, there's a book called Thunder in the Mountains or Thunder in the Hills.
Okay. All
right. Because that whole, see, again, suppressed history. There was bloodshed and basically warfare. I live in the middle of where it happened. The New River Mine Wars ran in the first decade of the 20th century, and then the Southern Coalfield, because West Virginia was the last state that the UMWA hadn't had any luck organizing, and it was brutally resisted. Where they shot Mate Juan, Thurmond, West Virginia, is in my county. And it was actually the scene of another episode of the Mine Wars.
Ooh.
Just bloody shit. And for damn good reason.
Damn, yeah.
You know, we don't know what repression looks like, because after the great uprisings, and so much of it was in mining, you know, Ludlow, Colorado, West Virginia, the companies figured out that being ham-fisted about it wasn't getting them anywhere because it got people worked up. So they learned to put their iron fist in a velvet glove. And so now when they want to blow up your community, they'll rent out the ballroom at your local Holiday Inn, and instead they'll hold a raffle and give the members of the community a free TV or a toolbox or, you know, some such shit as that.
I just found it on YouTube.
Really?
I pasted a link in the chat.
Awesome. Thanks, Steve. Real quick, I just want to say one more thing about the DC trip I took last weekend.
Oh, yeah, you got fucked.
It sucked. Yeah, because the maggot, basically, they've made this country almost insufferable anymore because, like, you can't. I mean, Supreme Court, 9 states, the Capitol, all of it, completely fenced off. Couldn't go anywhere near anything, and that was disappointing. You know, the highlight of my trip, like I told you in the email, was St. John's Episcopal Church. I thought that was cool to see that the place that presidents used to go, you know, to go to church. I think that's cool. You know, even though I'm not a churchgoer, I'm just, you know, it was kind of – and also I drove over to Alexandria, Virginia, and walked along the boardwalk by the Potomac. That was pretty cool as well. But other than that, yeah, I mean, you really can't do much of anything.
No Smithsonian, no National Zoo. John?
I know, I looked up Smithsonian. And, yeah, I mean, the Capitol, forget it. You can't go anywhere near it. Supreme Court of the United States, nope.
And see,
I wish I had known you were going, John. I would have referred you to my favorite delicatessen in Alexandria, which is my hometown.
Okay.
And Ollie's.
I thought about you when I was
Ollie's
there.
Yeah, God, Ollie's Trolley. Give me one of them Ollie burgers.
I thought about you, too, because I remember you said that you were originally from Alexandria, and I was thinking, I wonder where he's at. Was that? And that's cool. You basically are from D.C. That's cool.
Yeah, Disneyland on the Potomac.
There's another really good deli there called Deli on the Strand.
Is that one? Is that the one that's just down from the? Oh, what would it be? The south side of the White House?
No. This is in Alexandria.
Oh, okay.
It's along
there's
the
a really path. There's a really good deli. If you're looking at if you're facing the river from the White House, it is to the right of the White House, a couple of blocks down. Had the best bowl of borscht I've ever eaten in my life there.
God, you're such an elitist. Borscht. And,
yes, borscht.
You're such an elitist.
I am. I know that.
I know.
It's funny that you mentioned borscht, Robin. The other night I was watching an old movie that, can't think of her name, but it was about, God, why can't I think of the name? But Borscht, Cary Grant was in it, and he was supposedly a commie, a rabble-rousing type, a leftist, and Borscht figures prominently in the plot, and I'm sitting here watching, and I've never had Borscht before, and I said, well, let me go on Amazon. They've got everything, and Manischewitz and another company will send you a quart of Borscht. I guess you have to get your sour cream separately.
Yes.
But I've never had it, and it sounds delicious.
Oh, it is. It's delightful. And ice cold on a hot summer day. Yeah. It's basically Russian gazpacho. I find gazpacho more enjoyable, but borscht and you can serve it hot or cold. I made it a couple of times, and I was forbidden from ever making it again, but it was delicious.
Wait, is borscht Russian gazpacho, or is gazpacho Russian borscht? I mean, Italian borscht.
Spanish borscht.
Okay. By the way, I'm going to tell you a trick. If you want to see any movie you possibly ever want on YouTube, you know what you do?
What?
You get a VPN and locate yourself in China. Since China disregards all IP, I've done this. You can see, I've seen movies and TV shows that were blocked everywhere else in the world, but I went on my VPN in Hong Kong and I could see anything I wanted.
Wow, that's fascinating. And I've got thanks to send out. Thank you very kindly to George. Thank you, George. George just finished off the challenges and took us down to $570 to go. 570. So that means 270 covers yesterday and then 300 for today, and we could be fully funded for the whole week. And then just one more week of May to go. And thank you. Thank you so much. And I wish, I've said a million times, I wish I was independently wealthy. There'd be no hat passing. But, God, my crap's just falling all over the place here. The car knocked out 2 days of fundraising all by itself this week. That was so much fun. Brakes and rotors all around and one caliper. Yay. And but, we're making progress. I talked about carrying like 20 years worth of junk out. The goal is to make this space I'm in right now more video friendly. I will never have a set.
I want you on video.
I will never have a set as cool as John Britovo's. I know it. I just have to live with it.
Hey, Robin, did you see my quilt?
Yes, I did.
Love my fucking quilt.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That was so gorgeous. I just gave a really nice spill there when you was talking about your funds there, but damn, I looked down at my computer and I was freaking muted. The only way we get Robin's voice is by your generosity. That's it. This is Robin's job. Robin doesn't have another job. This is it. So when the car breaks down, when something happens at the house, when you need groceries, when you need to pay the bills, this is how Robin does it. So please, again, I implore you that it's so important to keep Robin's voice on the air, not only as intelligent and, may I add, beautiful as she is.
Why, thank you.
Which is why she needs to be on camera. But it is where she is.
She is in rural West Virginia, baby. I'm in rural Texas. We need those voices from rural areas to put that voice out there. That no, not just because you live out in the country, are you some redneck maggot? No.
No, John, you people like you and me put the fear of God in the maggots because they're like, wait a minute.
Yes, we do, baby.
Wait a minute.
That guy's wearing a cowboy hat. Surely yeah. He's safe to talk to. Yeah, come on.
What the hell is she?
Yeah. 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 What happened? We happened. There's no cookie cutter cut out for an American, baby. Every one of us, we the people. If we don't stand up for each other with no asterisk, then we are not the country and we are not the patriots we feel we should be. Because that's what it means. It means each of us stand up for each other, e pluribus unum, before they came up with the old God we trust yet. That's what it was. And that's what we need to return to.
Out of many, one.
One.
Out of many, one. And if you're not willing to stand up for your fellow American, quit calling yourself one.
And you know, John, the other phrase I always loved was, it's also on the money, long before One Nation Under God or In God We Trust. You know, that was just a bunch of baloney for the rubes. Because the people who founded this country, flawed though they were engaged in some fairly high-minded ideals. From the so-called Enlightenment.
Yes.
And that other Latin phrase, novus ordo seclorum.
Enlighten me.
A new order of the ages.
That's what we need.
We're going to do something different here. We're not going to have any kings or princes or any of those other hemophiliac inbred fucks.
Going to be a democracy of the people. Of the people.
Or at least, you know, a passing attempt at democracy. And it's, you know, generation after generation hands off the idea of democracy here to the next generation with the understanding not that we'll keep it the way it was, but that we will grow it.
Exactly. And I say it all the time on my show, Robin. This is a generational fight. This is not going to be better in my lifetime. Things are not going to be rosy and all racists will be gone and we'll do things right. We'll have police that protect and serve. That's not going to happen in my lifetime. But look how many generations it has taken us to fight this far.
And you know, John, the other side, you know, they profess to love their Bible and everything, but our side probably, especially the non-believers, know it a heck of a lot better than they do. And so, you know, the story of how... You know, of how the Eternal called Moses up onto the hill and said, look over there. We're here. But you don't get to go there. You're not going to make it. But you got him there. And that's why Dr. King is using that very same analogy. Just oh so, he knew what was coming, and just oh so shortly before he was assassinated, he said, I may not go with you. But you got to keep going.
It is the responsibility of every one of us. I'm not going to make it. You're not going to make it. We're not going to see that beautiful life that we want to see. But for each generation that fails to fight for it, that's another chance that we could lose it. And it sounds so corny and cliche and all of that stuff, but that's what it takes, baby, to live true to that ideal.
And we have... Go, Scott.
John, we're of similar vintage, so you can probably relate to this.
Yeah, we're old.
The 50s, everybody was kind of asleep and unaware. The 60s was a sea change, if you will, a shifting in society. And those of us who lived through the 60s, by the time we got to the 70s, disco came in and we partied our asses off.
Yep.
And yep. Then fell asleep in the 80s.
And had to get a job.
And the next thing we knew, it was the fucking 90s.
Had to get coked up to wake up, right?
Yeah, there you go.
But you take our land, we give you monkey for your back.
Where I was going with this, John, is back in the 60s, and I became
here we go.
No, I know, Duncan.
Duncan has his hand up, by the way.
Where Scott is going.
Well, the thing is, in the 60s, those
and we're, who were... Me and John are older than Scott.
I know, well, I was fairly active socially and marching and signing petitions and circulating them, all with the idea of making it better for the future. Well, we did, except somebody threw a wrench into the mechanism.
We rested on our laurels.
Well, that's part of it, too.
You know, we became a generation that wanted to change the world, and we did. We came up with civil rights. We passed major civil rights. We came up with the Environmental Protection Agency. Remember acid rain and all that shit?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we made significant changes in society. And then we faded off into our gardens in the backyard. And now we're old. But for those of us that are old, we have a moment in time here. I truly believe this. I look back during the time in the 60s, how we changed the world back then. We have that same opportunity now. But only if we take it, only if we push it, only if the society itself makes it happen, because that's what happened in the late 60s. There was significant change made because it was demanded by the people. And we are the people, baby. We, for the people, of the people. That is who we, and it all matters on who you vote, to be informed, to be involved. Being a listener of Robin's show here, you're being involved. You're interested in the conversation. You want to know what's going on. You have questions. And you get a few laughs along the way.
Yeah, as you know, as Mighty Mouse just pointed out, you know, I've been to the mountain, and you know, you get the vision, and you come back and say, I've seen it. Now y'all got to finish the trip. And it's that transmission of intergenerational wisdom, transgenerational wisdom. Some of that ball got dropped too.
Yes.
You know, there was. Where, how much hue and cry was there when we more or less stopped teaching civics in high school with the arrival of old 666 himself, Ronald Wilson Reagan? Not much. Yeah, we probably can't afford it. Hey, football team needs new helmets. Fuck civics. And I've got a note here from Greg. He says, my father was the first American Indian elected to be state's attorney in North Dakota. He only served one term and then became a well-known defense lawyer. A city cop was going to arrest an Indian cowboy who was walking down the highway and heading back home to the res for public intoxication. A real Indian cowboy who did the rodeo circuit. He couldn't walk straight because of all the broken bones he'd suffered in rodeos. He kept telling the cop he hadn't had a drop of booze and he's always walked crooked because of his rodeo injuries. But the cop insisted he was drunk and took him to jail. When they got about a block from the jail, he told the cop he wanted his one phone call so he can call his lawyer. Cop asked him who his lawyer was, and when he told him my father's name, the cop stopped the car right then and there and let him go. Father was a true icon out here in these parts, whom the cops feared in the courtroom when he had him on the stand for a good grilling and cross-examination, especially when he was defending his fellow American Indians from the same reservation where he grew up, too, that's close to the white town where he was state's attorney. He's been gone for 20 years now, and they still can't get over him, LOL. I hope they never do, Greg.
I hope they never do.
What is
Duncan?
Yeah, Ghost Parky.
Whenever you get around to him.
Yeah.
Well, I'd be remiss. I said something yesterday on John's show that I would give a shout out to the birthday girl. You know, John knows who I'm talking about.
Hey, you bet I do. Go ahead,
Bernadette's birthday today.
Oh, happy birthday, Bernadette.
Happy birthday, darling. I think we ought to sing happy birthday myself. That's just me. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Bernadette.
Barnett, happy birthday to you. And many more. Bernadette's trip around the sun starts again today. Bernadette, you've touched so many people's hearts, and not to mention their skin, and made us all feel a little bit
better. Oh, my God, yes.
And, you know, thank you so much for that, Bernadette. You're a treasured member of this Blue Dot family and, indeed, this Horn family.
Happy birthday, darling. I tried some of that on my knee the other day.
Oh, priest trees?
Yes.
I'm telling you.
Instant relief.
Works, doesn't it?
it works like a charm. It works like magic. We gave a can of it to a Miss Deborah, a friend of ours. She came back about, I don't know, 4 or 5 days later. She wants Bernadette's address. I want some more of that. Yeah, because it freaking works. And imagine that. Out of somebody's kitchen comes a salve that, man, it works for me.
Yeah,
and like Bernadette says, put it on whatever ails you, wherever that might be.
In my case, it's my neck.
It's my shoulder. I really use it a lot on my shoulder. I have bad shoulder pain.
And I put it on, you know, Agnes has to deal with lupus. And when it flares up, I just take a little bit of that, the Priest Trees on my fingers, and I start rubbing a circle right where the pain is, and just gradually move that circle outward, and she gets immediate relief.
My sister-in-law called me. My skin kind of tingles. Good. It's working.
It's working.
It's working. And for those of you who don't matter, and I hope you don't mind, Robin, if you're wondering what we're talking about, it's called Priest Trees, and you can find her at Priest Trees at asis.com.
Right.
That's her address, P-R-E-E-S-T-R-E-E-S at asis.com, and you can find out what we're talking about. I'll give her a plug because she deserves it.
Oh, absolutely.
Lord have mercy.
I've never seen the likes of this stuff. I can't be without it. Yeah. And Agnes can't be without it.
I think that's her plan. Going to get you hooked on this shit. You ain't never leaving. And I ain't. My wife just tells me how beautiful her skin is. Of course, she's beautiful before, but it does help the skin also. So
just remember, keep it refrigerated.
Yeah, that, especially in warm weather. It really does matter to keep it refrigerated.
Yeah, keep it in a paste form, put it on, rub it in, and sit back and just wait just a minute. I guarantee you're going to feel it. And this is not a commercial.
This is literally, I joke about it all the time on the program, but this is literally, you know, this is not a paid product placement.
No.
This is just people. I mean, I'm just amazed and thrilled that somebody in your Blue Dot family came up with something like this, and that you then brought it over and shared it with the Horn Family Community Congregation, because I have yet to hear anybody write in and say, oh, I didn't do it. Everybody, yeah, it's 100%, John. It is 100%.
Yeah, I do. And again, as Robin said, it's not a paid advertisement or anything like this. This is as if you yourself listening right now had some little something in your house there that you did, and you sent it to Robin. And Robin says, this is great. This is a great little item you sent me. And talks about on a show and shares that with somebody else, and they go, hey, this is great. That's what this is. This is actually somebody within the Blue Dot family
and we have so many people in our communities, John, that have so much talent.
We have one running for town council now in Mauro, New York. I'm looking around because I have names in my head, so many. Aaron Trombley is one of our Blue Dot family members up in New York. She's a longtime Blue Dot family member and decided one day, you know something? I'm going to run for office. And she is. She found out there's a lot more involved than just going down and going, hey, I'm going to run. No, you got to come up with signatures and forms and all sorts of shit. She finally got her official Act Blue account, and we are running 2 for Blue for her on our show now to try to get donations to her to run her campaign.
Well, I think I can say something, not talking out of turn now, but West Virginia, state of West Virginia now, has what I think is, there may be more, but the Democratic Party of the state of West Virginia now has a trans woman on a county executive committee.
Really?
Yes.
Progress, baby.
Yeah.
That's progress. In West Virginia?
Yeah.
See?
How about that?
That is some shit.
I know her.
I, You know her personally?
I know her personally.
Outstanding.
She's me.
Outstanding. If you think being a transsexual limits anybody's capacity to do their job, A, you're an idiot, and B, you're just an asshole. Because you're I don't know. I tell people, if you don't know somebody who's transgender, you're missing out on a good, you know, adding a little something to your life. Who is that that says if you don't know somebody, if you're not friends with somebody that doesn't look like you, who said that? Somebody, some famous person. Can't remember who. Then I feel bad for you. I feel sorry for you because you're missing out on what this country is about and what it is that will make it better. You know, Ted Cruz coming out with his little tweet, bad-mouthing
that dirtbag.
Oh, he's a scumbag.
Oh, personally, I'm just going to say this. I think those hard-eyed, ripple-muscled Russian stud soldiers might have gotten him a little hot in his Jesus place. I'm just saying.
Ted Cruz is a scumbag, used car salesman, the worst kind. And, you know, to disparage, and not only that, that little clip that he showed, part of that was from a white supremacist, white nationalist site.
Yes.
And it is an actual fucking Russian ad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
For Russian military.
He trolled the military.
So who is he promoting here?
Right.
He's a traitor. He's a scumbag. And I hope, geez, we got to wait so long to get rid of his ass again. Jeez.
Hey, let me, I've been really, really bad recently. People call in on the stress line. And I forget they're there, but George is with us. Hey, George.
Hey, Robin. This is George from Coarse Gold, California, up in the mountains. I just wanted to mention, I got a press run email today from Eric Bollert. He's, you know, he has his little newsletter thing. And he had on there a video by Michael McDonald and Willie Nelson called Dream of the San Joaquin. Just a beautiful song, acoustic guitars. I think David Higaldo plays in the background.
Oh, wow.
But if you get a chance, Dream of the San Joaquin, it's on YouTube. It's beautiful.
I'd love
to
check that out.
Later.
All right. Later.
Bye.
See you, George.
Thank you, George.
George just blows in, blows out.
Yeah. You come in with some good information because I hadn't heard of that song yet.
No,
where
I want to.
Say it was from?
It was, it was Michael McDonald and Willie Nelson.
No, where did he say he was from?
He so fast, but mountains of California.
I appreciate him coming in with that.
I didn't speed hear it.
Like the COVID shot, it's in and out, man. Stick it in. I didn't even feel mine. I think they used some kind of clicker shot. I'm not sure. I'll have to double check that.
I heard him say where he was from, but I didn't catch it either.
Well, the tune was Dream of the San Joaquin.
Yes.
San Joaquin Valley.
So he must be east of the San Joaquin. I think he said he was up in the mountains.
Yeah, I heard the mountain part.
California mountains, yeah. Cool.
There you go. It only took us, what, a few seconds to figure it all out. Yes, we all have a memory. We're just all a little slow on the shit. We have to cooperate
with
each other to find out what the answer
is. Y'all, it's been a week.
California.
It has been a week.
Been 5 years.
Well, yeah, okay. Yeah, it's just, I mean, not, you know, it wasn't not 15 miles on the Erie Canal or anything, like I said, but, you know, days that start at 5:30 and end at half past midnight, I used to be able to do that shit with impunity.
Yeah, not no more.
I ain't so good at it anymore.
No, it's 50. It starts turning on you, doesn't it?
Well, one of my favorite novels, everybody knows, is a book called Aztec by Gary Jennings. And, oh, what a story it is. It's about the Mexica Empire up to and including the arrival of Cortez. And it's brilliant. And it's 1,100 pages. You will not regret reading.
By who?
by Gary Jennings. He lived in Mexico for 10 years researching Mexica and the various other people's pre-Columbian history. And I mean,
I always say that about you, Robin. I admire. You are a very well-read individual.
Well, thank you.
The amount of knowledge that you stick in that head, I don't know how in the hell you do it. I damn sure couldn't.
Well, all that stuff is there.
Cornucopia.
All that stuff is there, filling up space that would otherwise be occupied by actual useful information, John.
Yeah.
But thank you. Coarse Gold, California.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you, Ralphs. That's Ralphs. Ralphs listened faster than we did. Thank you, Ralphs. But in John, this book,
I don't know what causes that. Hold on, I gotta light my joint.
In this book, God bless America. In this book, the protagonist says, as he gets older, he says, "That day I realized I had reached the age of never." And Steve, this will resonate. He said, and they asked, "Well, what is the age of never?" And he said, "The age of never happens when you find yourself saying, I've walked this hill, I've climbed this hill 100 times, and this hill was never this steep before." Or, right, you know, I've walked to town and back, and
so far,
it was never that long. Or, you know, it never took me so long to get out of bed. It's the, and so that's what it is. It's the age of never.
Mm-mm-mm. I'm on the edge of that now.
Yeah, I'm there.
John, I've got a description. You talk about all this stuff in Bob's head or Robin's head. Did you ever see the movie Poltergeist?
Yes.
Yes, remember good movie. When they opened the closet door.
See, Scott, you finally said a movie I've seen. I just want to point that out, brother. Y'all talk about movies I ain't never seen all the time.
Well, they open the closet door, and it's like a whirlwind with all manner of stuff in the kid's closet.
Right.
That's Bob's brain, Robin's brain.
I would believe that.
You know what? I think that's valid because it certainly feels like that.
Yeah, but you can pull the shit up.
How does he reach in there, pull it out, and regurgitate it?
I don't know. I am starting to understand a little bit better because I've been doing my show now for 5 years, just about. And I'm amazed with the names in my head, the shit that I can pull up when somebody starts talking about something, boom, there it's there. I'm amazed with how much I've been able to retain. But when you dig into this shit every day, as Robin does, as I do, and it's not always a pleasant experience finding out all the stories that she was talking about just, you know, before we all came in to talk. That takes some effort to go dig in time. So, again, this is her job. So, again, I make one more plea. If you're able, and nobody's asking you, if you ain't got the money, don't hurt yourself.
Right. But Marcia, thank you, Marcia. Marcia just took us down to 545 to go.
It's my wife's name. I'm partial to that name.
Marcia. It's a lovely name.
Yeah. We go with that whole John and Marcia thing. John, Marcia, Marcia.
Oh, John. Oh, my God. You're a real Marcia and real John?
Yes, we are a real Marcia for 48 years, buddy. 48 years. That's where,
hilarious.
Ain't it funny? She's still with me on
We had an outhouse on this 54 acres in the mountains that the family owned, my uncle owned. And instead of calling the outhouse the John, we call it Marcia.
My wife's going to slap you.
Well, you know, Marcia just helped us out, Sparky. You know, thanks.
Marcia, go slap him. We'll give you a stick. Maybe don't slap. We'll give you a stick. I know where this guy is. We'll hunt him down. Don't worry. Marcia, thank you very much, darling.
Thank you.
If you have the ability to pay something, to donate something, again, please do that. Because it's only the way, it's the only way we keep progressive voices on the air. Because Lord knows, it ain't hard to find some right-wing nut job yelling his brain out on the radio.
Oh, my. You know, and that, yeah. There's a million goddamn programs of that shit. I mean, way back at the early dim misty days of the beginning of the horn. I'm trying to remember who it was that I had on the program. I think he was at Think Progress at the time. But they had done a study. And so this would be back in the first decade of the 21st century. But they had done a study, and they found out that there was 1,000 hours of right-wing bilge and hate and blather and ignorance. There was 1,000 hours, John, for every hour that was produced on the progressive or liberal side of the spectrum.
We are a minor voice in this fight, but we're a critical voice. Again, like I say, your voice coming from rural America, rural America, that means something more. And to lose that voice, it just weakens us. And we can't do that now. The reason that they're so damn popular is because they're on fire for that bullshit. They love the hate and everything that they spill out on that right-wing nut job shit. They will donate their asses off to keep that hate going. But Robin and people like me and others that do this, it's a struggle to because it's humbling to have to ask for a donation. It really is. Since the election, our Blue Dot family, our intake, our income has dropped by 80%. 80%, baby. And I'm sure Robin's facing the same thing here. It's not just when we need you not only when the times are critical, but the times in between to keep those voices going. I hate to plead so much, but it's humbling for Robin every time she has to come on here and tell you what the goal is. The goal is to keep Robin on the air. That's what it is. And we can only do that with the donations that she gets from listeners like the Horn family. And so please, again, I implore you that if you can, if you can't, hey, it's free, baby. Tune in and listen in, because there is no charge for what this is. Wow. So it's not a fee. It's a donation.
Wrap your head around that, though. If your boss came in and said, here on in perpetuity until further notice, you're going to have to live on 80%
less. 80%
less,
yes. It can be devastating.
Wrap your head around that.
Hey, Robin, can America's Truth Detector come back and make new content?
Not so sadly. My friends, I won't be coming back for new content because the line of pineapples that I've been receiving is just, well, it seems to be eternal down. Ow! With all my pineapples tied behind my back, Rush Limbaugh is still dead.
Yeah, right. Jeez, I knew it was going to work. Thank goodness for small favors.
John and Robin, the part of the, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't there a misconception on our side that now that Trump is out of office, we can kind of set back a little bit? And
oh, hell, we've won.
Well, sure. Just sit back there on your laurels, there. Don't worry about a thing. Don't worry about all.
We're not even going to have midterm elections in 2022.
It's not going to be necessary. We're just going to carry over right the way we are. We ain't got nothing to worry about.
Joe Manchin's not sitting over there in the Senate fucking America or anything.
Maybe I'm saying an obvious thing, but that is not a trap that you want to fall into willingly or otherwise.
In 2022. We can't stress how, and I know y'all said that about 2018 and 2020. Yeah, we were right. And we made it. We rose up in 2018. We took the House. We came back in 2020 because this country recognized the danger that man, that orange baboon, was taking us in. And we've seen the rise in hate. We've seen the rise in Karens and just pure hate around this country.
Is it correct to say that what Robin is up to and what John is up to and what we are up to is a job that will never be done? It'll still be yet to be completed after all of us are worm food.
Yeah. And guess what? Robin nor I are going to Jamaica for a vacation. All right? That's not who we are. We're barely struggling by on what little income we have.
To flip the subject for 1 second, did anyone hear the story about the financial officer for Trump? I can't think of his name.
Ooh,
right now.
Weisselberg.
His niece came out today and said he will flip on Trump and testify to protect his family that nothing the Trump Corporation did was legal. Nothing.
Yep. Waiting on that, baby. I'm waiting on Matt Gaetz's girlfriend's flipping on him. We are going to see a show here, baby. The entertainment value alone for us progressives is invaluable. We're going to see all of them crash and burn, as they should.
They're all going to flip on each other.
Sure. You know, I'm waiting to see Donnie throw his kids under the bus.
I was listening to an NPR thing the other day about the timing on all this, and because the statute of limitations for Trump is in the very near future, we can expect his shit to hit the fan in the very near future.
That's why you're seeing discussions down in Florida about what are we going to do if they come to extradite him. You cough his ass up.
You watch him do the rumbling, stumbling, bumbling, shambling.
You know it's coming.
Perp walk. Yeah. I mean, yeah. The thing is that statute of limitations thing is only with regard to one malfeasance. There's a lot of time left for a lot of shit.
Well, do you remember that scene in the movie Airplane where it reaches a critical point in the plot and the shit literally hits the fan?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Who could forget?
It's going to be a lot like that, but worse.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will. And we can sit back. Like I say, we're going to have to watch this with a degree of entertainment value because we deserve it because of the shit that we've had to put up with. But we have to take advantage of this. We have to move the Progressive Party forward. And we can't do that without you, the listener, the Horn family. Wherever you live, you have influence within your own little circle. What you talk to with your friends and everything. Try to encourage people. Be ready for the next election. Be prepared. Be informed. Love this country like the rest of us do.
Don't rest on your laurels because 2022 in the House is going to be a squeaker.
It's going to be close.
I predict.
Not only the right, there's a lot of talking heads out there saying the Republican Party is poised to take advantage and take the House.
If they get the House, you know what's going to be, John. Investigation, impeachment.
You bet your ass.
Hunter Biden. We don't want that.
They'll move on to bigger things. Joe Biden.
Hunter Biden, the Benghazi of our time.
And if they don't come up with this goddamn January 6th commission, we need to Benghazi the ass out of them. Hey.
Well, you know what? Scott, I just realized there's so many songs. Buddy's laptop was full of... Oh, Jesus Christ. Look, I'm motivated. It only takes one thing to motivate me for the midterms of 2022. Jim Shorts Jordan, Chair, House Judiciary Committee.
Let's get rid of his ass.
Complain about purity.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. There you go. We're not pure enough. That guy's not pure enough. He's not pure enough. Bullshit.
There's no getting around the fact that Joe Biden is becoming the most consequential Democratic president since FDR. And I never in my life thought that I would be saying anything like that.
No.
I mean, no. I was kind of a bitch about Joe Biden during the primaries, and I apologize for it.
Old Joe is moving the ball, baby. Old Joe is doing the thing. And we should be proud of that.
And he's doing things that that we thought, you know, like only Bernie could do, but it turns out that only Biden could do it. And I don't generally do the political fangirl thing. Because, you know,
the nice th-
But
the nice
damn.
About that, we the nice thing about that, Robin, is, and I've said this before, you know, Biden was not my idea of the ideal candidate. And you're right. It's turning out that he's perfectly suited to do this. And all he needs to do and all we need to do is run on the record. If you can show people that people do it, showing up every day and doing the fucking job, not sitting watching the TV for 18 hours a day, and see the results of really putting your nose to the grindstone and your back into your work, competence and results
goes an awful long way.
Yeah.
And yeah. I think this is largely, I mean, you know, they stumble here and there. There are things that I don't like. But I'm not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. No way. And I need to send some thank yous. Thank you to our pal Mighty Mouse. Mighty Mouse took us down to 535, and our buddy Mark took us down to 510.
Here I come to save the day.
Precisely.
That means that Mighty Mouse
is on the way. Yeah, so between Mighty Mouse and Mark, we're down to 510. And
thank you, Mark.
Everything that we do between now and Monday makes finishing May okay, more likely. Because at this point in time, we're talking about $2,000 to finish the month. But if we can knock down from $510,
shit was cheap.
Yeah, there's no life of indolent leisure here. I can promise you. I need to send out happy birthday wishes. Our pal Randy Radar has a birthday tomorrow, so since I won't be on the air tomorrow, we'll wish Randy Radar happy birthday today. Thank you, Randy. Happy birthday. Many happy returns. And thanks for being a part of the community. You mean a lot. And with that having been said, now the rest of my day continues. Jesus. And the back porch will continue in my absence once we're no longer on air. I thank you all. It was great. I expected a great conversation. We have wonderful conversations on Friday on the front porch, and it did not disappoint. So thank you all so very much. And thanks to all of our subscribers, Patreon and PayPal. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thank you so very much. Thanks to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to Sparky at the seat of honor around the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable that is Friday on the front porch. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, head on .live. Remember, brand new Fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific, and the best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Cold River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. This would be a great time if you haven't already, and even if you have, check back in. Ask your member of the House of Representatives to co-sponsor H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act. It means the world to Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe. Please get your vaccine if you haven't already. And if you're in Ohio, get your vaccine and hope you get the $1 million. Wear your mask when you need one. I'm still wearing one if I'm somewhere that I don't know everybody's vaccinated. I posted a mask picture today on social media. By all means, wash your hands, don't touch your face, carry your hand sanitizer around, keep your social distance as appropriate, and for God's sakes, if somebody comes towards you saying, he just hit a tree, avoid that person like the plague, because he is. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later.